PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Such shows contribute to a social climate of violence and sexual malaise.
In order to survive, we have to give people something they can't get anywhere else.
We live in overstimulated times. We crave stimulation for its own sake. We gorge ourselves on it. We always want more, whether it's tactile, emotional, or sexual.
Soon, all of us will have special names. Names designed to cause the cathode ray tube to resonate.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
That's right, everyone. Merry Christmas. How's it doing? Welcome to Cinema Crespediso. That's right. It's me, Chris Crespo, chilling in the Crespediso studio. It is Christmas Eve. Well, it's Christmas Eve. But it's Christmas almost every day of the year. It would seem. We'll talk a little bit more about that, I am sure, later. But first, I have your threat update. Current threat level is peppermint. Abandoned. Just abandoned. That's how it goes. Ladies and gentlemen, we already mentioned this last week and in a bonus episode. It is confirmed that it's happening. Drewster Cogburn is not here. He is on a beach. That is all good. He's taking a much needed vacation. Sitting in the guest co-host seat is the one and only True Radio founder, godfather, grandfather of it all, Steve Etchie is here, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, how you doing, Steve?
Good. This is my favorite show to do.
Oh, thank you so much, man. What's so much? And honestly, I mean, come on. What is your 14th appearance now?
I think so.
Because it works. It's a good dynamic. We enjoy having you on, buddy. It's good to see you, man.
It's good to see you.
Yeah. Wearing the awesome Bill shirt.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love this shirt.
Classic Bill. It's a fantastic shirt. I got to get at least two of those still so I can get them. But thank you, Steve, for being here. For subbing for Drew. You know how the show goes.
Yes.
So it's just like subbing in clockwork. It's like, oh, boy, just take out this one. It's just like it's shaped a little differently, but it still works just fine.
I clocked in right outside the door.
You clocked in?
Yeah.
You walk right past the dog, yeah, as he clocked out?
Yeah. Hey, for those like of you that don't know this, he actually has one of those where you get the punch card. It goes, ka-chunk, and then you slide it. Yeah.
And then you put it in the case or on the wall with your name on it.
Little slots.
Mm-hmm. and then they get picked up later, and all the accounting gets done. I honestly don't know what happens to the cards after that. I really don't. They just, at that point, I'm like, I was told this was what was supposed to be done. Someone's keeping track of it, I'm sure.
Oh, I was supposed to pay you? I thought this was just a fun punch card thing.
Yeah, no, I think there has to be money involved somehow.
I had fun punch. When I worked at the thrift store, they had the punch card system.
Oh, yeah?
I loved it.
Really?
Yeah.
You actually worked in an environment? I've never worked in a non-digital version of that.
Oh, it was great. It's just, patong, you know, and it would stamp the date, though. It wouldn't do holes in it, but...
But we'll put the date on there. And the time.
The date and time, yeah.
The date and time, yeah. No.
Oh, great.
I've only done in... Yeah, Starbucks's and law firms and offices and stuff, they've had set up either punching into the kiosk, the POS, or at your computer in a program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even ones where you write it on a piece of paper and then you hand it at the end of the week. And they're just like, oh, sign this, as in, like, we trust you. Like,
yeah.
Well, like, whatever. just pay me. Anyway. Guys, it's a special Christmas episode. Episode 259 happens to be on Christmas Eve. I think we recorded our last Christmas Eve episode was with Soul Brother Kevin.
Ah.
Yeah, actually, there's a picture on the wall. It's behind the box. You see the box?
Yep.
Me with the hat and Kevin. That's like 2014, December 2014. I think that was a Christmas Eve show.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Yeah. Like right where the crease of the box is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is right there. Yeah, right where that crazy looking box is. We do not have a guest. I figured after we had Mark Baratelli.
Mm-hmm.
Was here a couple weeks ago, and I was like, you know, he'd be a great guest to end the year on in terms of guests. So it's just gonna be you and me. We're hanging out, and
all right,
we're gonna talk a little bit about movies. So let's go ahead and start with the streaming pick of the week.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Pick of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Cinema Crespediso
Streaming!
That's right, Streaming Pick of the Week. Time we do this. We use the Crespediso Randomizer 9000.1, and we let you know what you can watch on either Amazon or Hulu or Netflix, etc., etc. So, Steve, just use it right now. He's gonna let us know what is this week's Netflix Pick of the Week.
First off, I actually shook the box, which... I don't know anything that's in it, so then I was like, why am I shaking the box?
Potentially, it could have been empty, but yeah, there are some things in there.
Okay, this says, and this is Netflix, it just says comedian.
Ooh, yes, I'm pretty sure it's still on there, I'm going to double
check.
What is it,
The Comedian? Is that what it is?
I think it's just comedian, as a matter of fact, and it is the Jerry Seinfeld documentary from 2002.
Okay.
Have you had it? Yeah, it's Netflix, right?
Yep,
there you go. It's still on there. Fantastic comedian. I'm going to write that down. This is...
Is that the one where like he's up on stage and they're talking about... he's talking about like childhood and stuff like that. And like there was like this one part where they showed him sitting down on a street and like it's covered in paper and it's all the papers that he actually wrote jokes on.
No, that's...
Because that's brand new.
That's Jerry before Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, they just put that out on Netflix. That is good. And then he goes to like... the comedy stores, the club or whatever.
Something like that.
One of the clubs that he started out at, and he does like all his jokes that he
did. Yeah, it wasn't the comedy store, but it was, yeah.
And he did all his
that was really
jokes.
Good. For a second I was thinking, oh, is that a re-release and this is what we're talking about? Or no, okay.
No, this is from 2002. So it's 3 or 4 years, well, not even, the movie came out 3 or 4 years, so it's in the years right after the Seinfeld show ended. And at that time, he retired all his jokes. He did all his jokes over a course of a few nights in like Madison Square Garden or whatever, or the theater that was right next door to Parliament Theater or whatever. And
I like that distinction. You're like Madison Square Garden or that theater.
Or
next
the
door.
Theater. That's a theater. Yeah, that's a crazy thing. Madison Square Garden, an arena like smack dab in the middle of a crazy metropolis.
Yeah.
Right. Is adjacent to a theater. I think it's called the Parliament Theater. I don't even know if it's that called that or if it's even there. But this is what they did in the early 80s, Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
The first WrestleMania was at MSG, and this was before pay-per-view and everything.
Yeah.
So they sold out MSG, and then they sold out the theater next door, and then they closed circuit, broadcast the event live on a giant screen, like in the theater.
Okay.
So they like added seats.
Okay, that makes more sense, because I was thinking like, you know, oh, yeah, we're going to have a What's the Fuss get-together at Amway Center. Wait, I mean the bar next to it.
The bar. It is, I guess, it's like a quarter the size of the quarter. But, man, that ended up, that was pre-pay-per-view. That made extra money that way. So Comedian is, in those years when he finished those jokes and he was going to figure out what he was going to do next, he was going to write new material. And that was him talking about the life of a comedian and it, talking with his friends, his quote friends, which are people like Chris Rock and everything, you know. And it's interesting. It's really good. Well made. And
I can't imagine Jerry Seinfeld and Chris Rock hanging out.
They're buds, man. 3 years ago when the Mets were, maybe even 2 years ago, the Mets were pretty good.
Uh-huh.
And they were in the playoffs. Both Jerry Seinfeld and Chris Rock are Mets fans. And almost every home game, they would like find a way to cut to them in their like in their box or whatever.
Yeah.
Like all bundled up because it's cold and the place is packed, cheering on. And they're always and they're standing next to each other talking. They're like really good friends.
Huh. Yeah. That's cool.
It is cool.
I like that. But at face value, I'm like, what do they have to talk about?
Oh, a lot. New York comedy.
Well, yeah, that's true. But, I mean, their comedy is so different. Their personalities are so different. You know what I mean? Like, it just seems weird. That's cool.
True.
I like that.
That's true, because Chris Rock's a Brooklyn boy, and Jerry Seinfeld is a suburbs, had it easy. You know? Yeah, absolutely. I told you. What do they have in common?
Well, and I was going to say, and actually, the other thing when I saw this, where it just said comedian on it, Netflix is killing it when it comes to stand-up. Like, they're constantly releasing...
They're throwing a lot of money at it.
Yeah, not only have they already released a Dave Chappelle stand-up, another one's
coming out.
I think it's the 31st, I think.
That sounds right.
I think so.
I think, yeah. For some reason, I have it tied to a holiday. I think it's correct.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, like, they're coming out, it seems like, almost like every couple weeks.
Well, now's the perfect time to announce, Etchy.
Yes.
I myself have a stand-up special deal with Netflix. Yay! All right. Yeah, I'll be recording. I'll be recording my special. Hope people come out. I need a good crowd for this. People, please meet me behind Walgreens at 436 and Goldenrod.
Okay.
And it's on. It's at 2 a.m.
Okay.
Tomorrow. So I hope you're all there. We'll be recording it there. It's going to be fantastic. You'll see my 45-minute special. And then the other 15 minutes, we're going to figure out how we're going to... They want an hour, so I only got 45 minutes. And that's 10 minutes of that is me improvising with an acoustic guitar with no strings on it.
With no strings?
Yeah.
No, you know what? No, it's going to be a rock band guitar.
I have one of those.
There you go.
Clack, 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 clack.
Yeah.
People love that.
You just connect your PS4 to... a TV and put the TV to speakers.
Oh, I need a PS4 and a TV for the guitar to work?
Or an Xbox. Whatever.
I mean, I have the guitar. That's what I'm saying. I got it at a garage sale.
Oh.
Yeah, for $5.
Really?
Yeah. The garage sale. And the guy was like, it'll work great. I mean, I took it home. I hit the buttons and there's nothing comes out of it. So.
That's funny.
So are you... I could use that, I guess. So, right. Behind the Walgreens at 2 o'clock. Meet me there, people, for my Netflix special.
Not only that, but since it doesn't work, like, at the end, you can smash it.
Yes. No. I got insurance on it. And it doesn't... Yes. I can't claim the insurance if I break it. Someone else is going to have to break it. You're going to have to smash it for me. You'll come out and smash it.
You put insurance on something that...
yeah, I got like $1,000 insurance policy.
You got it on your garage sale.
The guy told me it was a one of a kind. Because he scratched his name into it with a knife.
And so there's an extra button on it.
And there's an extra button that he glued on. So it's one of a kind. I was like, well, then I better take out some insurance on this thing.
Oh, what is this purple button?
I never asked him what it does. And I never bothered touching it either. He did say, do not touch this button. I'm like, all right, well, I won't touch the button. So there you go. My Netflix special, Don't Touch My Purple Button, will be coming out pretty soon.
Yeah. It's actually the Game Shark button. You just hold that down and just keep strumming, and it plays all the notes perfectly.
Oh, that'd be so dope.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Oh, my God. Don't touch my note, genie.
Just sit there on the couch, my note genie. Just sit there holding down my note genie on the couch, drinking Slurpees with one hand, note genie with the other.
Yeah.
Playing Dragon Force on Expert.
Your red code Slurpee.
Yes. I need that extra energy.
I don't even know if that's a thing.
It should be a thing. Why wouldn't it be?
It'd be a weird thing if it wasn't a thing.
They had birthday cake flavored Slurpees. Why wouldn't they have?
Did they really?
Yes, they did.
See, that doesn't sound like it would work.
No, right? It doesn't.
It doesn't, yeah. It's like, well, as it turns out.
I tried. I have no idea if it's... I mean, I'm sure it was terrible.
I'm sure it was terrible, yeah.
Anything birthday cake flavored, you're pushing it, I think.
Yeah, maybe. I've had birthday cake flavors, but I mean, like Slurpee,
ice cream,
though?
Maybe.
Like
Slurpee.
Well, yeah, see, right? Yes, yes. I think Jeremiah's has...
Jeremiah, see, but that cream. Works. It's an ice cream, though.
Like, it's supposed to... Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, but mm-hmm. Slurpee? Mm-hmm. What?
Right. What?
The only thing worse than that would be a snow cone.
Yes. It's like, guys, get your dessert game going, people. Get it going right. So Chris Rock and Jerry Seinfeld are friends, and they hang out in Comedian, and they both talk about, sit there in awe, talk about how, I think Chris Rock talks about seeing Bill Cosby live, and how he was still so amazing, his live show was incredible, and it's like, oh, he's a rapist. So...
Well, and I do hate, by the way, and mm-hmm. this relates to movies too.
Uh-huh.
When people try to take that away, you know what I mean? We're like, oh, well, he sucked anyway. Okay, I disagree with everything he did, but shut up.
Well, to say that he sucked, though?
That's what I'm saying. No, like, you know what I mean? Like, okay, regardless of whether he's a vile person or not, I'm sorry, you can't take that away. He was talented in comedy.
Yeah, he's so accomplished.
Yeah, I think Michael Jordan's a dickhead, but I'm not going to say he sucks at basketball.
Yeah, exactly.
What the hell?
He's an asshole, but yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Give me a break.
That's so true. That is so true. All right, here we go. Let's talk about some box office. That's right, talking about box office numbers, that movies making money, and we're going to be talking about them. So, Steve, where are we starting our box office top five?
We are starting at number 8.
What? That doesn't make any sense.
I know. It is the darkest hour.
Oh, yeah, that's right, the darkest hour.
Yeah, it made $4.1 million this week.
All right, opening weekend, not too bad of an opening weekend considering the movie. Darkest Hour, the movie about Winston Churchill.
Yes.
Becoming prime minister just as the Nazis are closing in on France and the rest of Western Europe. They've taken over Poland. Belgium is next. They're just moving west.
Yeah. Do you know how much? Let's see. Is that listed on here? How much it costs to make?
It is not listed, but looking at the movie, and I would put it at like a $60 million budget.
Okay, because this is not looking good for them, because their total gross after 5 weeks is $6.9 million.
That's because also of those 5 weeks, like, does it say how many theaters it's in currently? I'm sure it's maybe still in the hundreds, high hundreds?
806.
800s. Okay, yeah, so of those 5 weeks, a few of them were like just in New York and L.A.,
okay.
Yeah, it's one of those movies.
Yeah.
Because it played for, like, critics and stuff, so they could consider it for awards cycle, that type of thing. Because it is the type of movie made to make awards, to win awards, you know.
Get them ivy leaves.
Yes, exactly. The ivy leaves, the statues, the nominations, all that shit. The real money and marketing push comes after the awards are all bestowed upon it, hypothetically speaking.
Yeah.
And then on home video and all that stuff. And then in perpetuity, it's this like big accomplished film. It's a Schindler's List. It's something that people talk about, et cetera, for years and years, right? Darkest Hour is not going to be that movie. It's a good movie. I saw it, but it's not, you know, like huge or great or amazing. It's just, it's interesting. It puts things in an interesting perspective. You know, Winston Churchill, the way he got the job of prime minister, something that he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get it. He got it in, like, the worst of circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
The country was facing annihilation by the Nazis, you know. And people were like, you gotta negotiate for peace. And he's like, no, we gotta fight back. So the whole movie, really, is just the story of Winston Churchill trying to get political support amongst parliament.
Yeah.
That's the whole movie.
Yeah, and a country-sized fight or flight.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's crazy. Yeah, are we gonna ask for peace? Is Italy gonna broker peace with us through Mussolini, or you know? And then like he finds out, oh, the French they let the Nazis in, they took over, and then like, oh, Belgium fell, and the wooden's like, what the hell?
What?
Yeah, wah. So it's good. And then you know what's funny? For the, because it's history, World War II history, right? The final third of the movie, second half of the movie, it takes place over the course of like maybe 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. They actually show like the calendar, like the days as they go by, how much time goes by, like a week here, another day here, etc. Because then it gets to the point where it's all the entire English army and like whatever French army is left stranded on the beach at Dunkirk, and they're talking about we gotta deploy the civilian boats, we gotta do this, we gotta do that. So while this whole Winston Churchill movie is happening, they're referencing Christopher Nolan's Dunkirk movie over there, because that came out this year too. You could, and then also, Ben Mendelsohn, the Australian actor, mm-hmm. who he's been around for since the 80s, really, but he's been popping a lot lately. Mm-hmm. Like, he was in Rogue One. Did you see Rogue One?
I did not.
You see Batman: The Dark Knight Rises?
No.
Trying to think of the most popular, the biggest movies he's been in.
What's his name again?
Ben Mendelsohn.
Ben Mendelsohn.
Ben Mendelsohn. Have you seen The Place Beyond the Pines with Ryan Gosling and he's riding a bike and Robin Banks?
No, but I will look him up right now.
Have you seen Killing Them Softly with Brad Pitt and...
I haven't. Man, this is awful.
Have you seen...
anyway, wait, what was his name?
Ben...
Mendelsohn.
Mendelsohn. M-E-N-D-E-H-L-S-O-R...
Yeah,
E-L-S-O-H-M.
Okay, let's see. Images.
He's on the show Bloodline.
I don't recognize him.
You don't recognize... Well, obviously, because you haven't seen any of these movies that he's in. He's your kryptonite. You refuse to see him.
That's true.
And he's great. He is the Bendelsohn, man. He's fantastic.
By the way, when you see the time pass, like you said, like with the different dates and stuff like that, you know what they never do anymore?
What?
Like the floating calendar with the month pages flying off?
Yeah.
Or like the spinning newspaper?
They really don't do that anymore. Yeah. To denote the passage of time.
Yes.
That would be hysterical. oh, man. Yeah, well, the Bendelsohn. The Bendelsohn's great. And the Bendelsohn in Darkest Hour, he plays King George the whatever, the stuttering one.
Oh, yeah, the King's Speech.
Yes. So.
Didn't see that.
Well, it's funny. That is that one won Best Picture that year, I think.
Yes, it did.
As well. And it's not really, it's okay. You could watch.
Well, that seems like one of those ones that, you know, that the Academy would choose.
Yes,
because they're stupid.
Because it's made for an older audience, and so yeah. it caters to
it's
their
discerning.
Particular.
Yes. Yeah, stupid.
The King's Speech. You could watch The King's Speech,
mm-hmm.
and then Darkest Hour,
mm-hmm.
and then Dunkirk, and that would be like. A trilogy
of like going through
that tells like a very cohesive story of the whole thing with the king getting into World War II and how that affected him, and then the effects of World War II and like they're in the thralls of it and how it affects the prime minister and all that, and then the third movie is down on the ground World War II and how it's like the people, the men that are fighting, how they had to like survive and an onslaught, etc. So it actually works, doesn't it?
Right.
And I think it helps that if you watch it that way, the movies get better.
Oh, okay.
King's Speech and then Darkest Hour and then Dunkirk, each successive movie gets better.
Of all three of those, Dunkirk is best?
Oh, my God. That's what I figured. It's so good. It's bravura filmmaking in many ways. It's pretty wild the way some of it comes together. And it's a war movie, very intense and quite violent war movie that still manages to do so without being over-the-top gory or bloody, which is... And it does, so it's like... It quote does honor to the violence of war and how terrible it is. It doesn't mm-hmm. like whitewash it or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but it's also not something that like people can't watch because it's like oh so it's not like the opening scene of Saving Private Ryan for 2 hours.
Yeah,
because it could have been that people just getting bombed.
Yeah,
on the beach it could have just been like blood and guts everywhere. But
yeah, well, and sometimes people make movies like that and they do that the entire time. They don't realize like when you got it. Hyped up to that level, the bombs blowing up the entire time.
Yeah,
it's fatiguing.
Yes,
you know,
it's a pummeling experience.
Yeah, and 100%. You just kind of get jaded to it, and you're just like,
you become a nerd to it. You're like, oh, I'm done. This is over.
Yeah,
So yeah, Dunkirk is the best one, but Darkest Hour is good. Gary Oldman as Winston Churchill. Good job.
I did want to mention number 7 real quick though.
Yeah, yeah.
Downsizing.
Yeah.
Because I thought, like, people seemed really... I want to see it really bad.
I wanted to see it, too.
And it just opened on Friday.
Yes.
And I was kind of surprised. It made $4.6 million.
That's not bad. The problem is because not only did Darkest Hour come out... Well, it's been out, but it expanded this weekend, right? At least Darkest Hour. Downsizing came out this weekend. Father Figures, which is probably in the top 5.
Mm-hmm.
That we'll talk about that later. That came out this weekend.
It is not in the top 5.
Where's Father Figures?
9.
Oh, number 9. Ooh, see, it's tough. That's Owen Wilson, Ed Helms comedy.
It does seem like one of those comedies, though, that could go very wrong. Where you're like, that could be the dumbest thing ever.
The marketing isn't good. It doesn't look right.
Well, but I mean, there are some where you just can't tell. You know what I thought was going to look insanely stupid?
Uh-huh.
Anchorman.
Which could...
Those types of movies...
Because it is insanely stupid, but are you on its wavelength when
it was really good.
It's a fun movie. Yeah,
exactly. Sure. Whereas it looks like that movie would be... Father Figures would be like amazingly good or complete trash.
Right. I think it's people are coming down on complete trash on this one.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Which is why a lot of times, I mean, Anchorman didn't do that well in theaters, if I remember correctly.
I think it did okay. And then it's the type of thing where on home video it gets, Austin Powers did not do well in theaters.
In theaters it didn't?
Nope, not the first one. But it did gangbusters on home video.
Yeah.
And that's how I got the sequels. It's crazy. I remember seeing it, Austin Powers. Giant theater.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been a few weeks into its run anyway, but giant theater. It was me and like one other person sitting all the way up front. I was like, man, it's a big old empty theater.
Yeah.
Only
non-comedy version I can think of, like right off the bat, Fight Club did terrible. And then
Terrible.
Fear and Loathing.
Yes, also terrible. They bungled. They didn't know how to market it, how to release it. Fight Club, Fight Club had a lot going against it. Like Oprah Winfrey was telling people, she went on her show and was telling people not to watch it, to boycott it. Rosie O'Donnell.
Why? Just the violence?
Because of the violence of it, because they were, and they misread it as.
Just a Fight Club.
Yeah, as like a literal Fight Club movie that glorifies.
That's
violence.
Why I didn't see it in theaters, because I was like.
The marketing did a little bit of that too, to kind of simplify it, to try to get you to see it.
Yeah.
Because it. Did have to kind of hide the conceit of what the movie really is about.
Which I kind of liked.
Yes, exactly. Because you see the movie and you're like, whoa. I only saw it because my cousin made me go. He didn't make me, but my cousin was in town and he was like, you haven't seen Fight Club? We're going to see it tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And we went and saw it. The last showing of the day, it was like the 10 o'clock show or 9 o'clock show. Went and saw it. Movie was over. Blew my mind. Right? And walked out of the theater. And I had the urge. I wanted to go back into the theater and see it again. And I was like, oh, but the theater's closed. There's like no more showings for today.
Break into the projector room.
Right? I got to see this again. That was on Sunday night. Monday morning. This is senior year of high school. Monday morning, I go to school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, guys, we got to go see Fight Club. This movie's incredible. All week, I'm like, we got to go see Fight Club. By the end of the week, I only get one dude to be like, all right, we're going.
And it's the dude that has nothing else going on.
No. No, man, he had shit going on. He had a girlfriend and everything. Shout out to my boy, Tim. He's awesome. He's got like a family now and stuff. It's crazy.
God, he's got more going on than I do.
He's got a family that's living in the suburbs. I think he has a mortgage. It's wild.
I bet he's got a job, too.
I got stories about that guy. he doesn't listen. What was I talking about? Not one of my Tim tangent.
Hmm? Oh, yeah. Well, basically, we started talking about father figures and, like, how direct video...
And how...
And how, like, yeah, that can actually make a film even after it's failed in the
Fight Club. Office. So I went and saw Fight Club.
So, yeah. And so I was wondering about
that. So then me and my friend Tim
went
and saw Fight Club.
Mm-hmm.
That Friday, there was a point to that story.
Oh, okay.
Not just that. It was the two of us. There was a final point. That was the week that it got yanked from most of the theaters. It was already a few weeks into its run.
Yeah.
So like you said, it bombed.
Yeah.
But it was New York City. Mm-hmm. So there's theaters everywhere. It's one of the last places where it gets yanked from, right? It contracts from the rest of the country. So we had to go from Staten Island. The weekend before I saw it in a theater in Staten Island, it was right there. It was a 15-minute bus ride, right? Mm-hmm. The next weekend to go see it, we had to go see it in a theater in like Union Square. So we had to get on the Staten Island rail, the train to get to the ferry. We had to take a boat. We had to take a boat to go see this movie. We took a boat 30
That's
minutes.
That's
crazy. We took the boat 30 minutes that goes over to Manhattan. And then we got on a train and then we took the train up into Midtown. And then from there we got to whatever theater we had to get to. That's all the transportation we had to take to go see this movie. But there was also like that was just the way it was back in the day, man.
Yeah,
you just got on all the awesome public transportation that was always running and was usually on time.
Interesting.
At the time, now I hear things are pretty.
Man, I really gotta go to New York. I've never been.
We should go, man. We should go and have fun, dude. And hang out with Billy D, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, yeah. I got to meet Billy D.
Yeah, yeah. It's good times.
Oh, yeah. Also, the reason I mentioned downsizing, I don't know. I thought there'd be more just because it's such an interesting looking movie. And it looks like if it did bomb, like it's one of those trailers that you don't really know enough. Like they conceal a lot.
They do. I saw 3 different trailers, and the most recent trailer that I only saw once. Mm-hmm. Gives away a portion of the story that they were hiding in previous trailers.
Yeah.
But then, while it does reveal more of the story, it revealed just enough to make, okay, now I understand more of the dramatic hook. It's more than just...
Enough to interest you.
Yeah, and now it's more than just people are downsized. It's like, and then here's the actual personal stakes for the main character as it happens.
Yeah. Well, and otherwise, like, you know, I mean, at least doing trailers that way, mm-hmm. where you... not the third way, but I mean, like, you know, the first where you really don't know what it's about.
Yeah.
Way better than like, basically trailers that go, here's the whole movie. That's the worst.
Yeah, I hate that. I feel like the Shape of Water trailer shows 90% of the movie, it feels like. It's ridiculous how much of it shows.
Yeah.
It's like, man, just, I was already convinced when he said Guillermo del Toro, but anyway. So yeah, downsizing, I still want to see it. And it's Alexander Payne, the guy who made Election and Sideways and Nebraska, The Descendants. He makes good movies, you know, about Schmidt.
I hated Sideways.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
It was a very popular movie, though. A surprisingly popular movie, considering it's just a drama about a wine connoisseur. A wine connoisseur. He's a curmudgeon guy, too. And
I kind of got the impression a lot of people said that they really liked it, because it's... You know what I mean?
Like, it comes up still in like cultural conversation every now and then.
Yeah,
it still gets referenced.
Yeah, it still feels to me like some people that say they like it think that it makes them sophisticated,
seem like the same as like, I drink wine.
Yeah.
I like that.
Basically, to be like everybody in the movie. Oh,
the ultimate irony.
Yeah, that's exactly. We have number 5 is Ferdinand.
Okay, that's that animated movie that DreamWorks just snuck out there because apparently it's terrible.
it's gross is just over $7 million.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's an oof McGoof for a family film, no matter how bad it is.
Yeah. Although, I was going to say, this is its second week. Its gross overall so far is $26.5 million.
And it's because it came out. Why did it come out up against Star Wars? That's crazy.
That is dumb. And the movie costs $111 million.
That's way too much money.
I don't know if they're getting that back.
They are not getting that back. That's way too much money. And then they put it against Star Wars. You guys is awfuz.
Yeah, and you said this is DreamWorks?
I think so. Is that what it says? It might say right there.
I don't... Let me see. It doesn't, but I think it is DreamWorks. Because I feel like that's the difference. I don't think Pixar would ever let that happen.
No, they claim their weekends as opposed to try to go up against other juggernauts. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, I meant like I can't imagine them ever putting out a piece of crap.
Oh,
like,
well,
Pixar is very not necessarily even. I mean, you know, I believe stories come to them a lot of times. You know what I mean? Like they read through scripts and whatnot. But I think
they have all their writers that are always working in their HQ.
I think they're just more picky.
Yeah, they are.
You know, like
they've scrapped. Was it them or Disney Animation? One of the two divisions just scrapped an entire movie that they were developing for like 2 years.
Yeah,
It was their version of a take on the Jake and Jake and the Giant Beanstalk. Yeah, right.
Something like that.
It was their take on that, a version of that kind of story. Mm-hmm. And they were working on it for a couple of years, and they were teasing, and they put out a promotional image, and then they announced sometime this year, like, nope, axed. It's not working out. It's done.
Yeah.
So they, well, yeah, that's a good idea. They will do it.
Yeah, because now, like, whenever you go, oh, there's a new Pixar movie out. You want to go see it? And, like, I haven't seen the previews for it or anything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, have you
seen... it's got to be good.
Have you seen the new one, the Coco?
No.
Have you seen any previews?
Yes.
Man, it looks good.
It looks really good.
Everyone I've talked to that has seen it, they've liked it. I think I'm going to make it a point, I think, to try to see it this week.
Yeah.
Maybe, I was thinking earlier, maybe even tonight. Maybe, depending on how my Christmas Eve dinner goes with the family, and if I can make it home at a certain hour, maybe I'll check it out tonight. Because, I mean, screw it, man. It's a Pixar movie.
Yeah.
Plus... You know how they have shorts before them?
Yes.
This one, awesome. Usually they are, but in front of Coco, they played a Frozen-related short,
uh-huh.
Which sounds like Frozen was a huge hit. Like, this should
be
it's
much better when they're unrelated, though.
I think so, too. But it's also about the snowman, right? It's kind of like how the DreamWorks shorts sometimes have the little squirrel mongoose nut guy from the Ice Age movies.
Yeah, I love that squirrel.
He's a fun guy. He's fun. The short, the Olaf short, that's the character's name, Olaf the snowman.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Is 21 minutes long.
What?
Yes, isn't that insane? They're supposed to be like 3 to 5 minutes long.
Yeah.
21 minutes long. And, Etchy, by most accounts, it's not very good.
Oh, my God.
So you had to sit through a not very good 21-minute cartoon movie before you can get to the, what, hour and 40-minute feature film?
Yeah. Well, not only do they do it, you know, like, do you look forward to the short story-wise, but they also are using the latest technology graphics wise that just blows you away every time.
Oh my goodness.
Especially the bird by the ocean, you know?
The one that played in front of Finding Dory?
Yes.
Oh.
Unbelievable.
Holy cow. I was like, did they just pop a camera on the beach?
Yeah. It looks like it. And it, all the way up until the point where, you know, they have those human characteristics enough where you go, oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, until the bird starts emoting. Like, man.
Emoting. Thank you. That's kind of what I was going for.
You're
100% for,
right, though. It's like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Then you're like, ah, that's not a bird actor.
No. that's a tiny bird man in a suit.
Exactly.
On a beach. That is wild. Yeah. But fortunately, after the first couple weeks of Coco, they pulled that short, which Disney says they intended to do all along. And even the marketing always said on the Olaf short for a limited time. Mm-hmm. They just never said for how long that limited time was. So maybe they pulled it early. I don't know. But apparently, no one liked
when
it.
When people get tired of it, that's when we pull it.
Yeah.
That's the limit.
That was the limit. And apparently, the limit for this one was 2 weeks tops.
Wow.
So there you go. So now, maybe, now that's gone, I'll definitely go see it.
Yeah. I would love to see that.
So that was number four.
Number four.
Number three.
Yep. Number four is The Greatest Showman.
Oh, that was number five. Number four is The Greatest Showman.
Yes.
And it is another new movie that came out this week.
8.6 million.
Well, not bad. Not bad for a musical.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you know, this is its first week. It's got, let's see, a total gross of 13.2.
Because it came out on Wednesday.
Yeah, which is weird.
Well, they do that sometimes with holidays. So if a holiday weekend comes up, and then especially with this one, with there being so many movies, a couple movies came out on Wednesday to get the jump on.
Okay, I got you.
Friday, Saturday.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this is the budget was $68 million.
Yeah, if you've seen the trailer for it, have you seen the marketing? It looks like a pretty lavish musical film. You know, a lot of big production numbers. Because it's recreating, like, the early circus days. You know? It's a movie about P.T. Barnum.
Well, unfortunately, as soon as you hear musical, that takes out a pretty sizable chunk of people are going to see it.
Takes me out.
It takes me out, too. Yeah, I don't want to see a musical.
No musical. First of all, if I am going to see a musical, might as well see a live one, because I want to see the things performed and I want to see it happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's way more impressive than, all right, here's take 37 of these people doing this musical, this choreographed number, constructed together. But, you know, it's...
Yeah, last musical I saw was Beauty and the Beast, and I loved it. But, I mean, like, that's because, you know, I loved Beauty and the Beast as a kid, and all the songs are pretty much the same. So you can, like, sing along to them and stuff. So it didn't feel like a musical with all new music and lyrics I have to listen to and stuff I have to follow. You know, I just started singing along.
There's also a difference too.
So good.
Like, this movie and the Beauty and the Beast are also a different type of musical from, like, Les Mis.
Yeah.
When every bit of dialogue is sung.
Yeah,
that's too much for me.
I
can't do that. Although I did see Les Mis both on Broadway and the movie version.
And I got a question for this. Number three is Pitch Perfect 3.
Yes.
Has
she just snuck in there this weekend?
Yeah, have they done well in the past with the Pitch Perfect movies?
Reasonably enough.
Yeah,
they've done okay enough. Do you have a budget there? I bet you it's like under $40 million, $30 million.
$45 million
budget.
I mean, that's still in the ballpark. You got it.
Considering the amount of people that are in it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, and then the amount of money they have to spend on musical rights for all the a cappella versions of the popular songs that they're covering. They make, for the lower budgets, they make a reasonable amount of money to justify making these things. I wouldn't be surprised if plopping a whole new cast, Pitch Perfect 4, the new class, and it's like, you know, They bring back one of the main characters, one of the lesser, not like Anna Kendrick mm-hmm. or Rebel Wilson, but someone else. And they're like the
I
new...
love Rebel Wilson.
Yeah, she's fun. She's cool, right?
Yeah.
And she won some big defamation suit against the Sun or something. Someone that wrote that she's a liar, mm-hmm. and they printed that she's a liar and a bad person. And then she lost a bunch of jobs right after that, and she attributed it to that article. Mm-hmm. And she sued, I think, in Australian court, and she won.
Nice.
Yeah. So watch what you say, people.
Yeah.
Back up your facts. You got to add the word alleged. She's an alleged liar.
Yeah.
But wait, no, we're Rebel Wilson fans here. And I wouldn't be surprised if they bring back one of those characters. Make them like the new, like the leader, like the dead mother of a whole new group of young girls doing a cappella versions, all Pitch Perfect 4, the new class, blah, blah, blah. It writes itself.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah. And I mean, this is the way to be successful, I think. The easiest way to be successful is making movies like this because. You know, okay, this was week one, right?
Yep.
$45 million budget.
Yep.
They made $20
million. $20 million this weekend? So maybe another 10 next weekend?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to make it back.
Yeah, you will. You will make it back, and then maybe a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And then home video is where something like this, because the first Pitch Perfect 2, I think, did really well home video-wise and everything. I think the other ones may have also come out around, like, Christmas or summer, I should say. I feel like the Christmas release is different.
Yeah.
For this one.
Yeah. I'm not really sure. I think they were... Yeah. Well, it seems to make sense during summer.
I feel like it does.
Yeah.
Especially since I feel like these movies are aiming for a younger audience.
Yes. Oh, definitely. Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Late teens.
Yes.
Like a 17-year-old.
Early 20s.
Yeah.
The kids, et cetera.
Number two, I'm excited about.
Mm-hmm.
Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle.
There we go, yes.
When I heard that they were going to be making it, mm-hmm. I was like, this is going to be so stupid.
But it's more of a rebooting, sort of. Not so much a remake. Like I think it acknowledges the first one somehow. I think there's supposed to be some sort of nod to Robin Williams.
So like both of them happened?
Yeah, like Jumanji happened in the 90s, and then this happens now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was a reboot. All right, well, the weekend gross was $34 million.
Wow, man, that's not bad.
Now, see, here's the thing, though. The total gross, this is the first week.
I think this one that may have also come out on a Wednesday.
Okay, good. Okay, that makes more sense then, because the total gross is $50.6 million.
There we go, yeah, that extra Wednesday, Thursday. That's why you get those extra days in there, man, with the holiday.
I really was not excited about it at all, and then I saw I saw a couple different previews.
Yeah.
It looks really good.
I was the same way. When I heard about it, I was like, eh. I was like, The Rock, yeah, it's cool. I guess The Rock and Kevin Hart, Jack Black, I like them.
Well, then there's also, and this I was excited about. I love her. She's the, I can't remember her name, though.
Taryn Gillen, the girl?
Yeah, with the red hair.
Gillen, Tara?
Something, I don't know, but, like you know, she's, I first saw her in Doctor Who.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
English girl.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
No.
No? Okay, yeah. Not. She did with Matt... Oh, God, what's his name?
Smith.
Thank you.
Yeah!
Matt Smith.
All right.
Yeah.
He was in Terminator Genesis.
Oh, okay.
That's why I know him.
She was his companion.
Okay.
And then she, of course, did Guardians of the Galaxy, which a lot of people do not recognize because she was the sister. She's all blue.
She's Nebula?
Uh-huh. Yes, yeah, Nebula.
So mm-hmm. The Baldi?
Yep.
Oh, wow, that's a lot of makeup.
That is her. Yeah, that is a lot of makeup. Mm-hmm. And then I saw her, and this was like, oh, my God!
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that. All right. Oh.
She has one of those appearances where, like, you know, you see her, and you're just like, I like her. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you just are immediately,
kind of gravitate towards
comforted
her.
Comforted almost.
You dig her.
Yeah.
Some people just have that.
Yeah.
That's how I feel with The Rock. I see The Rock, and I just want him to hold me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that, too. Yeah. And then they're in the same movie, and Jack Black. Same
thing. I've always liked Jack Black.
Yeah.
I've always liked him. You can overdose on Jack Black.
Yeah. First thing I ever saw him in was The Jackal.
The Jackal, really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Do you remember that? He made him hold up the pack of cigarettes.
Is that the first thing you remember seeing him in, or is that the first time you noticed him?
Because, that was the first time I ever saw him, I believe.
Like, you saw The Jackal before you saw Cable Guy?
Oh, no. I saw The Cable Guy first.
He's the brother. He's like... Are you ready to rock? Because he got the Soundgarden tickets.
Oh, okay.
Where he was Matthew Broderick's.
Now I got to rewatch brother. That again.
Yeah. He was also in, I think this is after The Jackal. He's an Enemy of the State.
Yes.
Yes, he's in
the, I didn't see it, but...
Yeah, but he's in it with Seth Green. They're both in, like, the they're the nerds in the control room, clacking the computers. Like, he's going down Fifth Avenue.
That. Yeah, I think. Yeah, yeah.
What else did he do in the 90s? He pops up in a bunch of crap.
I loved him in The Jackal, dude.
He is a random thug somewhere in Demolition Man.
Oh, that's yeah. super interesting.
Yeah, in the underground, like he's an extra in like one of the underground groups. Just like how Sam Rockwell was in the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I love Sam Rockwell.
He's in it. He's the, do you remember the first Turtles movie? The very first one with the suits. At the end, when the police raid the warehouse and they finally stop the gang, and then a kid gives them the address, mm-hmm. and Sam Rockwell, and he's the one who talks to them. And it's like, Oh my god,
that is weird.
Yeah, it's like 18-year-old Sam Rockwell.
I just saw Jack Black on Jimmy Kimmel.
Uh-huh.
And they played an old... he was the kid in the commercial... Jack Black was the kid in the commercials for when Pitfall came out for...
For Atari?
For Atari.
What?
Yeah, where he's like wearing the safari hat
that's
and everything.
So crazy.
Yeah, because somebody had spliced together him in that commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And the new, Jumanji that came out.
That's so funny.
Yeah. But it was weird to see him because he's a kid. And it was just like, oh, my God.
things come back around sometimes, man. Yeah. It's wild.
They really do.
It really is wild. Oh, here we go. Just pull this thing out there. So that was, all right. So number two is Jumanji. I'm going to see it. I want to check it out.
What do you think number one is?
I think it's, you know, the little movie that could.
Yeah.
The little engine that could.
Fight Club. it is Star Wars Star The Last Wars. Jedi.
Yes, last of them.
Yes, let's see, which week is this? This is week two. Yes, the budget is not listed.
It's gotta be huge.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure it's easily over 100 million.
Close to two.
Two, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
175.
It has already grossed 365 million. This is domestic, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
So if you click on it, it'll give you a worldwide. You'll see an international and a worldwide figure. Because I'm sure it has got to be around 800 worldwide already.
That's not showing up. It's just doing the total gross. It doesn't matter.
Okay. A lot of money. It's made so much money now. It's how much money it's made.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. I talked about it last week, and we did a spoiler episode on it as well that people can hear. And also for the bonus episode we just did, we did some more Star Wars talk as well. And then Drew accidentally dropped like a huge spoiler, hugest spoiler possible. And we had to like delete it. And then 2 days later, I remembered that we did that.
Uh-huh.
And I had a quick panic attack. Like, oh, did I forget to censor that or delete
right.
it? Yeah. And then I talked back really hard. I was like, oh, no, okay. I remember cutting it out now. I would have heard. People would have been upset.
Yeah, I would have freaked out over that.
It was huge.
Yeah.
Gigantic spoilers. Anyway. So you haven't seen it yet?
No.
Planning on it or?
Huh?
Are you planning to?
No.
No, not a Star Wars
guy?
Not
a Star Wars guy.
Are you a Star Trek guy?
I absolutely hate Star Trek.
Battlestar Galactica.
Better. Yeah. Better.
We're getting somewhere.
Yeah. Star Wars, I don't even... Like, I saw it as a kid. Like, I have nothing against Star Wars.
They're kids' movies.
Other than how much I hate Lucas.
Fair enough.
But, so that kind of weighs down on it. But I really hardly remember much about
so
Star Wars.
So you got no love
so
for
I'm
it.
Not saying... Yeah, there's no hate for it. Except that it's annoying to hear about it all the time.
All the time.
Anytime there's a huge fan base of something that you're not a fan, unfortunately, it's very irritating.
That's the way, unfortunately, I feel about... I mean, Harry Potter has been... how it is with Harry Potter? I'm, like, envious. Because I see all the Harry Potter stuff everywhere and how into it everyone is. I'm like, oh, man, I wish I was that into Harry Potter. I'm not into it. Yeah.
I'm in the middle. I've watched all of them and I enjoy them.
You enjoy them?
Yeah, but I mean, like... I don't, I haven't memorized a whole bunch of trivia I haven't read the books. I read the first book.
You actually read one of the books?
Yeah, well, it was for a book report.
There you go. It was a book. You need a book for a book report?
Yeah, there was a list, and I was like, that'll be the easiest to read.
if you gave me... That's funny. If you gave me a list or like a row of pictures of characters,
mm-hmm.
and then like a bunch of lists of names, I couldn't match up most of the names of the characters.
Okay, see, I could. Yeah. I definitely could.
I could. So.
Yeah, it's good. I just I don't see the like when people like get really like, into it. I'm like
yeah, into it.
Yeah, they're good.
But like Star Wars, people are so into it.
Yeah,
to the point where they're like freaking out one way or the other about this movie, whether it's amazing or. Or
see,
it's
that's
the worst thing ever.
Yeah, that's what annoys me the most.
It's so annoying.
It's when people... Well, no, the biggest thing to me is when you write a petition.
What? To make it not canon? Or what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Canon, not canon. Like...
I don't remember what it was for, but I mean, like, basically they wanted some stuff changed, and it's like...
They wanted the whole movie stricken from the record. They didn't like the way, like, Luke Skywalker was treated, apparently. Although, one of the main complaints that people have about Luke Skywalker's... his arc in the movie
yeah.
is one of the very, very few things that the crew, the Lucasfilm crew, took from George Lucas when he handed over everything.
Yeah.
Because back when they did, getting ready to do The Force Awakens, and they met with Lucas, he showed him, like, well, here are my ideas for 7, 8, and 9, just so you can see what I had going on. You can take what you want and what you don't want. And the one thing that they really took was the whole Luke Skywalker in exile Jedi Temple thing. That's like the centerpiece of this movie. Now, at the end of Force Awakens, remember they find Luke Skywalker in exile? That was his idea. He wanted it to be earlier in the movie, but they were like, we're going to do it later. Anyway, so one of the big things to people were like, oh man, this is why Lucas would have been better. And now it's so funny. Now people are like, Disney's ruining Star Wars. Like, Lucas would have been better. It's all coming back around. It's so stupid.
Yeah, it is stupid. Well, to me, though, like, the biggest thing I hate about it is, like, where do you get off thinking that you have the right to go, no, this needs to be changed, and start a petition for something like, you know what I'm saying? It didn't used to be like, are you the writer?
Right.
What do you remember?
You're just a consumer?
Yeah, you're just a consumer. This is not your story.
Right.
As much as you would love for it to be, you have nothing to do with this.
I agree.
You know?
It's ridiculous. People, just because you pay your $13, maybe, your $15, maybe.
Yeah.
A lot of people are paying $10, $9. You got to remember that. Balance out a lot of smaller markets in the country. Not everyone's seen it in 3D, et cetera, et cetera. These people paid a lot of money, worked for years to make this movie. You paid $10, $11 to go see it. Just shut up and watch. You don't like it, you don't like it. But you don't
gotta
ask for a petition to get it to be stricken from a record.
Yeah, whatever happened to the end sucked. That's it.
Yeah, just say it sucked.
Do you remember, and now this is a video game, but Mass Effect 3 came around.
Okay.
And people literally, like, demanded that they change the ending.
Why?
It's like, who the hell are you to demand anything?
And who cares? It's a video game.
I mean, can you imagine writing a story and somebody being like, no, change this. I demand you change. Who are you?
Yeah, who are you? I demand you not play my game. How about that?
Yeah, I demand you like it till you don't. And then tell people the ending sucked. Like, that's the way that works.
And then just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Please just leave it at that. Right?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, so Star Wars The Last Jedi, making a ton of money.
Yeah.
You'll see it eventually.
Yeah.
People just see it. Just see it, people.
The last one I saw was the first of the prequels. Phantom Menace, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that, and it was terrible. And people always say, and they're right, I'm sure, you know, where they go, oh, yeah, but that's like the worst one ever.
No, I think Attack of the Clones might be worse.
Oh, really?
Maybe. I'm going to sit down and rewatch the prequels in 2018.
The only thing I thought was amazing, though, is like that poster where you see Anakin Skywalker and his shadow.
And his shadow is Darth Vader.
Is Darth Vader.
It's a good juxtaposition.
That's
a good image.
It's so good.
There's also, we talked about this on last week's show, it's a great piece of music that came out of episode one as well. So it's not a wash.
No, it's not
all terrible.
But there's, no matter how bad something is, it can't be all bad.
It could still have things.
Yeah.
It could still have things. New movies coming out on DVD. There's a Vince Vaughn movie called Brawl. In Cell Block 99. That's actually pretty well reviewed. People like it.
Okay.
So worth checking out. Brawl in Cell Block 99. Flatliners. The remake of Flatliners with Ellen Page that came out this fall. One of the worst reviewed movies of the year. Wide release. So if you want to see how bad that is, that's now on DVD.
I love Ellen Page.
I love her too. Yeah, but apparently this movie's really bad. The Mountain Between Us is the Idris Elba and Kate Winslet are in a plane and they crash on a mountain and they gotta survive.
Okay.
And then they fall in love along the way.
Okay.
But there's a mountain between us. that that's coming out.
That's great.
And then a little comedy called Killing Gunther. You watch SNL?
Yeah.
This guy,
Taron Gillum.
Mm-hmm.
I like him.
He directed this movie called Killing Gunther, and it's about this team of assassins or wannabe assassins, and they're going to kill like the world's best assassin, most renowned assassin or whatever. So they, at gunpoint, force a crew to like document their attempts to kill this guy. And this guy's name is Gunther, and Gunther is played by Arnold Schwarzenegger. But he's like, he knows that they're coming, so he turns the tables on him.
Okay. You know what's really funny about that? Is it the real, most deadly assassin?
Yep.
The Jackal, which we brought up earlier.
There you go. The Jackal. Played by...
Bruce Willis. Willis. And he was the Jackal, I believe. Yeah, still out there.
Jackal's out there, really? Mm-hmm. Shooting people in the liver?
Yep.
And be like,
people, of course.
The blood is black. You have 20 minutes to live.
Yeah. Well, and they know how much he's done because, like, you know, he leaves behind, whether on purpose or not, I don't know. But I mean, like, you know, an MO, like telltale signs.
Oh, yeah.
That is him.
That's him.
And so, I mean, like, that's why they call him the Jackal. We still don't know who he is.
That's crazy.
Otherwise, he wouldn't be a very good assassin.
A really good world. Famous assassin.
Yes, as pointed out in the Naked Gun, they mentioned that.
It's hard to be a world famous assassin
when somebody knows your name.
What's coming out in theaters? You got the coming soon over there.
I do,
on the good old.
Yes, we have Phantom Thread.
That's the new Paul Thomas Anderson.
That's when you pretend to sew.
It's when you pretend to sew, or you put in the fake the extra thread, but he can't see it.
Or is this a take on the Emperor's Clothes?
It is. Right. Is it the Emperor's Clothes? That could...
I don't know. I haven't even seen the previews
for
this. That's
legitimately... I was actually trying to kind of avoid watching any previews because it's Daniel Day-Lewis's final acting performance. He says he's retiring now.
How old is he?
60.
I think he's full of shit.
Well, he's been claiming that he's wanting to retire since he did The Boxer in like 1989.
Then again, I have this thing where I think anything he's ever said publicly is full of shit.
Well, he's an actor.
Yeah, but I mean, like, he's the worst kind.
Oh, what, a pretentious kind?
No, but pretentious method.
But he's so good.
Yeah.
He's so good.
But I mean, if you have to play your character 24/7 and not just when you're on, are you really good?
Well, he doesn't necessarily. He does like to stay in character, but it's not necessarily 24/7.
You know what I mean, though? Like, it's like anytime. I'm sorry. It's one of those things that annoys me more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
When people find it cool. You know what I mean? Like, oh, and he just does this. Like, he sacrifices so much. And it's like, well, how about you show up, you act, and then you leave? That means you're good at your job. If you have to 24 hours a day act like the character so that you can act like it on camera, you suck at your job.
Man, you got to see the Jim and Andy documentary. Have you hear about that?
No.
That Jim Carrey documentary where he filmed.
I have heard about it. Yeah, yeah.
He had Andy Kaufman's sister... work a documentary crew film him all the time, and he was always Andy Kaufman.
Yeah. See, I thought...
Even then, there's now and then, there's times here and there where it slips and he's not. You can tell.
Well, I mean, see, that's just, I think Andy Kaufman was one of the lamest things to ever be on film or TV or even have his voice recorded.
So
he's the worst.
So not an Andy Kaufman fan.
No. Okay. No, people were like, oh, he just did what he thought was funny to himself, and it's like, yeah, he had a really shitty sense of humor then because it wasn't funny at all. Like, he sucked.
That's all right. There we go. Hot take. That was
people romanticize it.
That was Dr. Steve's two cents right there.
Yeah. People romanticize the hell out of it.
Yeah. People love it.
And it's not. It's not good.
There you go. Dr. Steve's two cents. Well, I'll pop in an intro later. But,
yeah.
Andy Kaufman can suck it. Method actors are the worst.
Yeah.
What else has come out in theaters?
All the Money in the World. This is the one where Kevin Spacey was taken out, and they shot everything with the new scenes. The new guy,
with Christopher Plummer?
Yeah, wasn't it like 9 days or something?
Like 11 or something crazy like that.
Yeah, it's insane.
For a second there, it's not like you were saying this is the movie where they took Kevin Spacey out back and shot him. That's what I thought you were going to say. Which you might as well have.
yeah.
Apparently in the movie, if you watch the movie, All the Money in the World, there is a shot of Kevin Spacey in there somewhere.
Is there?
Yes, he's still in there somewhere.
I mean, it figures, because I can imagine from an editing point of view that you would find a piece of footage that you would need to kind of
make a scene work.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm, yeah. That, you know, if it hasn't been, of course, they could have digitally taken him out, but
Well, they elected to reshoot everything as opposed to doing digital manipulation.
Right, right. But I'm saying like there still is. Choice.
There's still that
well, that's
option.
What I'm saying. Like, they still could have done that for...
Yeah.
Are you saying there's one in there now?
Yes, there's one. That's one in the movie, in the final cut of the movie. The movie is... it's finished.
Yeah.
And,
Is he the character?
As the main character, Kevin Spacey is in there.
What?
But it's like an over-the-shoulder shot or a shot in the distance or whatever. So,
yeah.
So there will be one shot. Like, well, he looks different for a second.
Yeah, okay.
And then it's not him. What's funny is with Kevin Spacey, the whole movie they had to like put on the makeup on him to make him look old for one section of the movie, and then really old for another section. With Christopher Plummer, who is like 30 years older than Kevin Spacey,
yeah,
they actually had to put makeup on him for a part of the movie to make him look younger. And then for the older scenes, they just like kind of he kind of looks like
a little bit of foundation,
which is pretty fantastic. And then the other actors, Wahlberg and Michelle Williams and everyone else, they actually agreed to work on this movie for a week and a half over Thanksgiving. They all agreed to work on this movie for free.
Wow.
They didn't get paid another because they wanted the movie to come out and they wanted it to work.
Wow, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. So I'm interested in seeing this movie. Christmas Day, Phantom Thread, and All the Money in the World both come out Christmas Day.
Along with Wedding Wonderland also does.
Which, whatever the heck that is, well, man, we'll just put this out. I wouldn't be surprised if it's like a Bollywood film.
Yeah, no, everybody in here is...
Or a Spanish movie?
Everybody in here is like... Crest White.
A white movie?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, then they're just like, screw, we'll just put this on and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, it looks, it is a very typical cheesy cover, too. Like, just looking at the cover for it,
yeah,
you're like, nope.
It's a bunch of whitey McWeddings, and we're like, hey, it's a white wedding. It's a
wedding. It's a man and a woman looking at each other like they're going to get married and whatnot.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Like, in the background, two girls that are just, like, back-to-back from each other, like, ugh.
So it's like my big fat Greek bridesmaid's wedding
slash my best friend's wedding
dresses.
Yeah, best friend
wedding dresses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There
you
go.
Yeah.
All right, so those are your Christmas Day movies, guys. All right, let's take a break here. Crespo Disco time. It's Christmas. It's Christmas.
It's Christmas.
This has nothing to do with movies, but it does have everything to do with the season. Carol of the Bells is one of my preferred Christmas tunes, etchy, and this is the version by August Burns Red. So, yeah, so people can enjoy this, and then we'll be back with the second half of episode 259 of Cinema Christmas Diso.
previously on Poking the Bear.
A lot of people join the Big Tim Hammer Club.
They did. They want them scammer tales. Mm-hmm. They don't listen to the podcast.
The first one and him are getting along.
Oh, yeah. I haven't. We haven't been back
and forth. Your friend Aziz?
Afi? Fucking Nigerian scammer. I don't. Let's trust him to give us a real name, guys. You know?
I'm your friend. You are my friend, my friend.
My friend.
No, the one. So the most recent one, though.
50 Cent. Lil Wayne. Clang, clang.
The Russian Nigerian.
Yeah.
I like the music from the.
Anytime I do an accent, it always just turns into like a Russian accent.
Yeah, well, it's the only one. Yeah, it's my accent or the Russian accent. Yeah. The one too.
That's actually.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby. For
I love Big Tim. Hey, baby. And we're back.
I'm going to go to Red Lobster for endless shrimp.
Oh, endless shrimp. America full of endless shrimp. I want to eat like King with Big Tim Murphy. Hey, baby.
Listen to Poking the Bear on PFTmedia.com. Welcome to the Quest Bowl. What you gonna do? What
you gonna do when they come for you? That's right, here we go. Episode 259 continues unabated. It's a Christmas episode. It's me and Etchmeister himself. Yeah, Steve, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing awesome.
Let's get the plugs out of the way. Let's do some PFT plugs. Where should we start?
PFTmedia.com, definitely.
Definitely get started
there. Yes, and then, of course, the PFT Facebook group.
Yeah, join the group. Yeah, I never mentioned that enough. Join the group.
Yes.
Join the group, interact with us.
And I love, every once in a while, you know, I'll think of something good, and I'll, you know.
Yes, you will.
Like a question or something.
A good question. I'll get people talking. I appreciate that. I'm trying to be better at stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, join the PFT group. And there's also the What's the Fuzz group.
Yes.
What's the exact name of the WTF?
WTFP group I do believe.
I think that's what it is. Rocky's running that one.
Yes.
Join that one. Episode, what came out?
109 just came out, which, by the way, I accidentally originally. I'm glad I could address this.
Yes.
I'm going to address this in the group, too. I just haven't yet because I forgot. But, yeah, I did put the latest Tidbits episode on the What's the Fuzz feed.
To get people to listen to the latest episode of Tidbits.
Yeah, which I was going to say, I love that episode of Tidbits, but I did do it on accident. But if I could do any episode on accident, it would have been that one anyway.
The Christmas one with you. Interview your mom.
I got to interview my mom.
It was a fun one. It was a good episode.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. People should definitely.
I had fun with the fire and the Christmas music.
Yeah. At first, I was like, what's that crack? I was like, oh, that's the fire. It's a fireside.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff, man.
And I used a different crackling than from the fireside chats.
It's a more of a fireplace fire.
Yeah.
As opposed to a campfire fire.
Yeah, yeah.
You can tell the difference.
Yeah,
it's
definitely.
It's those Duralog flames. That's what's going on. Got those green flames and the blue ones.
I didn't even check. But when I was looking at the sound effects, there was one where it was like a gas fireplace.
Yeah.
And I didn't even click on it because I was like, what does that make? I don't know what the sound that is. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know how that somebody would be like, oh, he's at the fireplace.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it'd be like, oh, he's putting on noodles. Like,
no, it starts with that. It's the sound of it turning on, right?
Yeah.
So it's like the.
And there's
and then just a sound of gas.
Yeah, and there's no crackle. Like, the crackle is the best part.
Yeah, crackle is the best part. The crackle of the wood.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's just the sound of eternal flame on metal.
Yeah. Well, just like last year, that was one of my favorite parts of it when I interviewed my cousin and we were camping. Mm-hmm. And we'd eat campfire. So the entire time we're talking, you hear the.
Yeah.
You know, it was great.
The occasional sound of someone spitting in the fires. Like, whoa. That thing crackle popped.
Oh, yeah. We were doing marshmallows. This is awesome.
That's fun. Yes, What's the Fuss 109,
yes.
And the latest Tidbits, the Christmas bits, the crisp bits,
yes.
Not the crisp bits,
the crisp bits,
the Christ bits. Check those episodes out. Etchy produces them and they're great. Rye has been sitting in on What's the Fuss now for the last 3 episodes, I think.
Yes, 3 episodes. He's getting the hang of it.
He is getting the hang of it, actually. You can tell he's getting more comfortable. And it's good. It's a good dynamic that's going on there. I was enjoying Rocky's story about getting shot with a frozen paintball.
on his, one of his family vacations in Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was weird because I've never been shot by a paintball before. So, like, I can't relate. I know it hurts.
Yeah, these bruises, it's got to hurt. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Let alone a frozen one that then refuses to break upon impact.
I never even thought about that until the story. I was like, what?
That you can make it worse somehow.
I just picture somebody, like, it's summertime, but they're, like, next to a cooler with ice, just, like, loading bullets in, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's like, what, are they out of BBs? I mean, we got frozen paintball, so it's almost as good. Oof, I can't imagine. Shout out to Rocky and Rye. Is Rye short for some? Was it Ryan, or?
Actually, it's Robin.
Okay, Rye short for Robin.
Yeah,
Rocky.
Which is funny, because Ryan. When I learned that, I was like, there is no Y in Robin.
No,
I don't
know. No, there isn't. But course, it's R-Y. It's Rye.
It's Rye, yeah. Rye. I like it.
All right, very cool. Shout out to Rye and Rocky. What's the Fuss? Episode 109. And tidbits. Check that out. Anything else PFT related?
I don't think so.
Because we have some things in the hopper. Well, it was announced on Facebook by the players.
That's right.
Might as well.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, we could talk about that.
Yes. I don't know exactly when it's coming out. But it's...
It's in the works. It's been in the works for a minute.
Yes. State of the Beer Union. Not only that, but the host, Ed, he...
State of the Beer Union!
he actually like, he's a distributor, and like he brews, like he does so much different stuff.
Working with doesn't he work with Tomoka?
Yes, he does. Yeah. Yep.
Built-in beer sponsor.
He knows everybody in the business. Oh, it's funny because he actually knows my friend. I was like, oh, you know Josh Brangle? He used to work for Cigar City, and he's like, oh yeah. He's like, I've met him a few times. I'm like. Yeah,
it's a close-knit community. Absolutely. The craft community. Yeah, when the people are in it, they like get to know each other. They go to each other's beer releases and stuff. It's very cool.
Yeah,
well, it's a lot like the podcast community, really.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's why it didn't surprise me. Like when I asked him, like, "Hey, do you know this person?" I fully expected him to say yes.
Yeah. At this point, yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, it's a lot of fun. I had a sour beer. Like I mean, I've had one before, but this one was. Red Cypress. It was called Quickie.
I haven't had that one. I have had a few Red Cypresses.
Oh, it's good.
Quickie, so it's like a low alcohol, like a session, meant to like be quaffed down pretty quick.
I actually don't know if
I would imagine.
I didn't look at the alcohol content. I'm guessing, I don't know, craft beer wise, like it'd be like 5 or something, you know?
Average, yeah.
Yeah.
So it was a good tasting, like quick drinking beer?
It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you could drink it pretty quick, yeah. Now that I think about it.
That's why you call it that. Yeah, it's good stuff. And then he's co-hosting with
Leslie Joe.
Leslie Joe.
Yes.
That's right, yeah. Leslie Joe!
Yep, local comedian.
She's
been doing comedy for about a year.
Yeah, she's been hosting over at the Broken Cauldron, I believe.
Yes, she's been hosting that. She had some dates, I forgot what they were, though.
I think it's a steady thing. Like,
it's pretty steady, that's the thing. Yeah. Is that, like, if you, yeah, whatever she said... and it was funny because she like rattled it off, and I was like thinking, I was like, you know, this is a practice episode, like this is not gonna come out in time for that to actually work.
Yeah, but it's good.
But it's good for
but it's practice, though.
Getting, right? Yeah. Yes, yes. Getting it out there. But it was just kind of funny to me that I was like, yeah, we're going through the motions, but yeah, nobody's gonna hear.
Yeah,
that.
If that's one of the things, then it's got to be done. Save it though. You could really use it for a Patreon down the road. You got to save all those pilots.
Yeah,
all the unused pilots. I still got some. I got the. The unused Orlando Opinions pilot that was in a completely different format. I got that, man. I ain't throwing it away. There's some gold in there.
And I got something. I got another podcast in the works right now, but it has not been announced. None of the stuff, so I can't say anything on it at this moment. But it's gonna be awesome.
Right, just like that. Or I tease that we're doing video stuff in 2018. That we have some stuff in the works.
Yes.
But we didn't say exactly what it is. So just like that, we will keep that. Under wraps until hopefully when I'll put this out there now to start getting the pressure on us and on ourselves, at our first event that we'll be doing early in 2018. You need
I need a coaster.
Yeah, or yeah. Oh, you need a coaster. Here you go. Oh, there's one.
Oh, there we go.
And we'll do an event early on in 2018, hopefully end of January-ish. And there, maybe beginning February, and we will announce some new projects then in our video series that we're going to produce, and we're going to have a lot of fun doing. So keep your eyes and ears peeled.
Yes.
Yeah, Well, I think it's on the road. Where can people find you online if they want to hit you up?
You can find me, actually, if you Google, it's either Etchy or Steve Etchy. I believe it's just Etchy. You can find all my social media information, with the exception of my personal email address, which is yes, steve.etchy@gmail.com. You can email me for literally any reason.
There you go. If you want to PayPal money, you can use that, too. Send them some money.
Yeah, I love the idea of, you know, if you email me, I'll be looking at my inbox and being like, oh my god, this isn't an ad or like spam or anything.
It's an actual email.
I can actually read this.
Someone actually cares about us.
Yes.
That's a nice feeling, isn't it?
It really is.
CinemaCrespediso@gmail.com is our email, and that's for the Vox Populi, the voice of the people, which is a segment we'll be doing soon. You can hit us up on Twitter at Crespediso. And then the network is on Twitter at PFT Media.
Yes. And that is Vox, by the way. We were talking about this beforehand. I was like, I thought it was Box.
The Box Populi. The Box Populi. Welcome to the Box Populi. Box Populi. Vox does sound very close to Box. And it's, you know, Latin isn't exactly in favor in terms of languages spoken,
yeah,
this day and age. But you know what? Anachronistic. I like my Latin named segments. I like my Roman numeral show titles.
Yes,
because I still added Roman numerals. Very, very pretentious idea. It started because I did episode 3. I was like, oh, episode 3, Rocky 3. I'll do the three eyes.
Yeah.
And then the IV, but then once I got to like 11, I was like, man, am I gonna keep doing this right now?
Well, especially like episode, like, you know, 400, to be like, there's a lot of X's.
That's us. Now you're tricky. To end to say 400, 500, I bet you is something very specifically. So it's like 100 minus 500 is how you would write that in Roman numerals.
Probably.
I bet you.
Yeah.
Pain in the ass.
It really is.
Because 50 is L.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So 40 is not four X's, but it's XL.
Ah.
As in 50 minus 10.
Yeah.
What a pain in the ass.
Extra large.
Yes. Etchy.
Uh-oh.
Drew Sikogren versus the world. Drew isn't here, everybody. You are.
Okay, so,
Which means you play for him.
Okay, but then I play for him, but then...
It's a sparring round. Because when he's not here, well, when we don't have a guest...
Do I play against you?
No, you're playing by yourself. We're just going to test your own trivia knowledge. So it's for your own benefit.
Right? Yeah, we've done this before.
So you're just going to do the sparring round that I come up with. And this week's game is an audio-based game. So I'm going to do this so you can't see.
Okay.
Exactly here. All right, here we go. Here we go. This week's game is I've done on the show before, and it's movie themes. Not just movie themes,
what?
But also TV themes. That is right. Go to my playlist, and here we go. I'm going to play these songs. You tell me first what movie, the first five are movies, and the second five are TV shows.
Okay.
All right, so here we go. What movie is this from? Takes a second to get. This is also kind of a weird cover of it, but still.
I like it. Okay, so this is old.
Yes. Old, yes. It's a recent cover, but it's an old song.
Is this from Terminator?
Yes, it's a Terminator theme. All right.
I love anytime I hear the
ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
I love the one of my favorite things, like soundtrack wise, is like in scary movies and stuff like that, you know. Or no, this isn't scary, this is suspenseful.
It was suspenseful,
movies.
Yeah.
I like a Pelican Brief or something, when they use the like the violin where it's like
they hold a note
and they like slide it down though, like high pitched,
yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that. Pelican Brief type shit.
That may happen here. All right, let's see. You got that one right. What's next?
Oh yeah. Halloween.
Halloween, all right.
That's one of my favorite movies.
You got that one right. Well,
What's Her Face was hot.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee Curtis, yeah.
All right, here we go. Number 3. Don't feel pressure to answer right away. If you want to give it a second to think about it.
Yeah. Because I'm going to say Pirates of the Caribbean.
You're going Pirates of the Caribbean? Close.
Yeah.
Police Academy.
Oh, okay. How is that close?
It's not.
It's not.
I was just trying to make you feel better.
Yeah.
All right. How about this one? This has got to be easy. Easy, easy, easy.
Oh, this is easy, but I can't think of it.
Uh-oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. When it's on the tip of your brain.
Yeah.
It sounds like so many things.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, well, but then here comes this part, though, where it's like, oh, okay.
Okay, Indiana Jones.
No! See, it's Back to the Future!
Damn it!
That's so funny.
Why?
That's so funny. Alright, well then, what's this?
I just watched Back to the Future like 2 weeks ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, that was Back to the Future.
Okay. Indiana Jones,
alright. That's funny. That's good stuff. Fantastic songs. All right, now.
And by the way, when I said Indiana Jones on the set, like, I knew that wasn't the main theme. Like,
well,
you know what
well,
I mean?
Well, yes, they're not all main themes. Some of them are
right.
Main
I thought that was like
not.
Another
yeah, sure.
part. Yeah.
I mean, the one I just played you is Raiders. It says Raiders March, so it's not like the actual. Anyway.
Okay.
All right, now we're going to TV.
Yeah, Seinfeld. All
right. Yeah, the popping sounds. Yeah. Drew's like, they don't do those sounds. I'm like, yes, they do. It's the best part.
You're going to look at the waveform like later, and you're going to see like all the pops.
Why is it popping? I'll compress that all out. All right, here we go. What's this one?
Knight Rider.
Yeah.
1984.
Right.
Actually, don't know if that's correct.
That's roughly right.
I just wanted to say the date in a rap way.
That's roughly right. That's roughly.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I love Golden Girls.
All right, Golden Girls.
Oh, yes. That's my jam. Your heart is too. When I wake up in the morning. Say by the bell, yeah. Bam, bam. Scooping it up, but out. I know that is the beginning, but
yeah. But which show is this?
Yeah, I'm better at TV.
He killed on those TV ones, man. He got 8 out of 10.
All right.
Well done.
I can't believe one of them that I missed though was Back to the Future.
You know what? I can see the part of like playing that with the John Williams and other songs. Like it all sounds kind of similar.
It can, yeah.
Almost. Thought of just doing 5 different John, like E.T., Indiana Jones, Superman, Star Wars scene.
Superman. I never saw Superman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The original Superman?
And I saw a couple of the old ones with Christopher Reeves.
Yeah, Christopher Reeves, yeah. The original Superman.
Yeah. But it really bothered me watching that. Like, it was
how
like,
super he was?
like, the flying parts?
Yes.
It was like...
It was like you believe a man could fly.
It was like he planked on a bar stool. And they just superimposed
and
it.
And put a screen behind him.
Yes. And then, like, but didn't have wire remover at the time.
Hey, yeah. The context of time, Steve. It was 1975,
oh,
no, 77.
Yeah. Oh, it was huge at the time. Like, it was amazing.
At the time, they're like, man, this looks unbelievable.
Yeah.
To the point where Superman 4, like, the FX actually got worse as they made more because the budget
got lower.
Yeah,
And
so Superman 4 is like, oof, that's really bad. If you don't like the first Superman, man, you got to see that last Superman.
Yeah.
Superman 4 is fun.
Well, you know what's sort of funny, too, is like when you see the wires, you know?
Yep.
Okay, you know how they remove them now?
Mm.
There is actually an effect called wire remover.
Really?
That you just highlight where the wire is, and it goes away.
It just knows what it's doing.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Man, the person who wrote that program, they got paid.
Oh, yeah.
Man, that's where the money is. You got to write programs like that.
Yeah. Especially as an editor, you know, I love, you know, hey, can you make this wire go away? Yeah, but it's going to take some time and money.
Yeah, time and money, and then they're like, "Well, here's your money," and then they walk away, and then you go bloop,
yeah,
and then you go back to watching The Price is Right.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I worked really hard, so here it is early.
Yeah. Oh man, here's your bonus.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm glad we worked this into the contract. Good stuff. All right. Let's see. What are we gonna do? We did the plugs. We just did the game. CinemaCrossface@gmail.com. All right, so let's do Billy D. Where is this?
Billy D.
Billy D. Here we go.
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again. Heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? What?
Ow! You metal, dude! We're totally gonna kill you now.
That's right, it's not where Billy D's
Death at the Movies.
And here we go, it's Steve Veggie. Steve is gonna read Billy D's missive.
Yes, also catch him on PFTV.
Yes.
If you type in Billy D's, God, my mind just went completely
Your
blank.
Brain is broken today, yeah, Steve.
It really is.
Postmortem.
Yes, Billy D's postmortem. Or if you look up PFTV on... Yeah. Channels too.
Yeah, yeah. If you look up PFTV, the channel comes up, and he's like right now the only content that's on there.
Yep.
But yeah, if you search Billy D's Postmortem,
yep, come right up. This is top 10 favorite movies. I love it.
Top 100
or top 100.
He's about to do is he's breaking into the top 20 now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. He's getting near the end. And
very exciting. Very exciting.
Even when he's near the beginning and he's just doing, you know, like it's still.
They're also great movies.
It's compelling, yeah.
Yeah, there's so many movies. So,
yeah, it's not like, you know, when you see, when you watch lists, or like, you know, top this of the 90s or whatever, you know, and it's on like VH1 or something.
Yeah.
You know, and like, it doesn't get good till the top 20.
Yeah, exactly. It's so much filler. Yeah, like, man, I don't care about Goo Goo Dolls or Three Doors Down. Like, let's get to the Nirvana already.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like the Goo Goo Dolls.
No, but Billy Dee, it's all Nirvana. You like the Goo Goo Dolls?
I do like the Goo Goo Dolls.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
I also love that they hate their name, but they keep it.
Do they hate it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they absolutely hate the name, but they refuse to change it because they're like, that's our doing. We're
too late.
The Goo Goo Dolls.
Well, I don't think Korn likes their name. I don't think the Beatles like their name. A lot of bands like, come up with stupid names. Like, damn, we should not have done that.
Yeah, but they keep it.
Because you gotta.
Yeah.
Brand recognition.
Well, it's exactly why, like, you know, I already hate him anyway because he sucks. But Puff Daddy. People are like, no, it's not.
You mean P. Diddy?
No, I mean Puff Daddy.
You mean Diddy?
No, I mean Puff Daddy.
You mean Sean Combs?
Well, he was Puff Daddy first, and then like Sean Combs, like
later. Sean Combs later.
Yeah.
But now he's like Sean.
But he was
Puff Daddy Combs.
Yeah. But it's like, no, he's Puff Daddy because that's what he chose, and he's gonna fucking stick with it. Especially since he's not good enough to actually. I'm sorry, you're not worthy of a name change.
How about Lil Bow Wow? He's not Bow Wow. He's not so little anymore.
It's appropriate because he's not little anymore.
Right.
But I don't care. There's plenty of adults that have, like Lil Wayne. Now, he is short, but...
There's plenty of adult Bow Wows.
Lil Wayne is an adult, and he's a Lil. You know what I'm saying? Like, Lil Kim. Lil Kim is older than me.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe not even littler than you. Is she little? Maybe she's a little.
I don't know, but Lil Bow Wow, like, yeah, I'm sorry, you're Lil Bow Wow. Because, you know, nobody cares. Like, you know, like, it's just like if I, like, was like, I'm changing my name and, like, told my neighbors.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit. What am I telling you for?
All right, so we're taking a stand.
Yeah.
Today, first off, down with method acting.
Yet.
Second, stick with your original names, guys.
Yep.
Stick with the names. If you side with Steve on this whole name issue, sticking with your initial name, hit us up on Twitter at Crespediso, hashtag Cassius Clay.
Ooh.
But if you are down with the name change, hit us up at Crespediso, hashtag Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
There we go.
I like that.
All right.
And why would you check? Cassius Clay is the most badass name.
It's a pretty badass
I've
name.
Ever heard.
Cassius Clay is a great name.
It's an awesome name.
His daddy named him Cassius.
And see, here's the thing. First of all, he's good enough that he can change his name. That people will go along with it. Like, you know, like he deserves that name change.
Yeah.
But also, it's religion-based. So, like, he had a reason to change his name other than, I don't like my name.
Yeah, religion, ideology, because it's like, this is our slave names, because it comes down from our lineage of being a slave family.
Yeah.
So it's a Christian name given to us, even though it's not our, isn't our faith. It's something that was forced upon us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also, Cassius Clay is his real name. My issue is when you,
what, you didn't take
make
a name.
Up a name, and then you later don't like it. Well, sorry.
Okay, so then actually those hashtags don't work. So
you know what, it's memorable though.
It's memorable.
We should go with that.
Okay, we're sticking with it. Yeah. We're sticking with those hashtags.
I like it.
All right, go ahead and take it away with the Billy D's email.
All right. Thank you, Muhammad. So Billy says, "What's up, my dudes?"
What's up, Billy?
I fucked up. Moments after I sent my Last Jedi review last week, I injured my back.
Oh, Bill.
I know. At least I had the luxury of working from home for a couple days so I could rest as much as possible, but I'm still hobbling around Fort Awesome like a 1,000-year-old crone. I like that word. It's a great word.
Crone.
So from illness to injury, I'm really celebrating Christmas. This week, from my position on the floor, I watched Wormwood. It was outstanding.
All right.
Yeah. Errol Morris is amazing, and his documentary style has never been more interesting.
Uh-huh.
This combines documentary footage and interviews with A-list recreations to create a docudrama of unparalleled creativity. Netflix spent some money. Not a surprise there. I've also done some comfort watching. Watched all of One Punch Man again.
It's an anime.
Okay. Oh, is it? Okay. It's easily become one of my favorite things to watch whenever I just want to put something on, as well as completed the new Hatchet Order of Star Wars films, which is Rogue One, Episode 4, Episode 5, Episode 2, Tarkovsky's Clone Wars, Episode 3, Episode 6, and Episode 7. It's a pretty thrilling watch. Excited to eventually add Episode 8 to that order. That sounds like a bad time. From up here in NYC, Merry Christmas, Crespo fam. Now to start my Santa Slasher Marathon. Stay cool, Billy D.
Billy D. All right, lots to unpack there. First off, The Wormwood on Netflix. I've watched, I think it's a 5 or 6-parter, and I watched the first two. It's interesting. It's a documentary.
Uh-huh.
Sort of. It's a documentary, and it's about the MK Ultra.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And how... a family was told in the 50s that their dad, he either fell or jumped out of his hotel room window, and no one knows why. It's either an accident or a suicide. They're not sure.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, but his dad's dead. And then 20 years later, they find out, oh, the government, the CIA drugged their dad, gave him LSD. He freaked out, and that's why he jumped out the window.
Okay.
Because it was a drug freak out. And the whole movie's about that and what the government's doing, but it's done with a mixture of interviews and, like, reenactments, but not reenactments. They're, like, scenes that are shot, like, at the TV show.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's an HBO series.
Uh-huh.
With, like, Peter Sarsgaard, I think, or... Is it Peter Sarsgaard? One of the... Sarsgaard. It's a Sarsgaard. And the chick from Deadwood, just, like, recognizable actors and actresses being used for the, quote, reenactment scenes. It's actually like it's a fascinating, crazy way to tell the story, to tell this true story, and it's very, very cool. So I agree with Billy on that one. Wormwood is worth checking out on Netflix. And then he mentioned the Star Wars, the Hatchet Order. That's hysterical the way he chops them all up. And you know what he does? You may not have noticed.
Hmm.
Episode 1.
Yeah.
Cut out completely.
Yeah, I did notice that.
Yeah, he doesn't add it to the list at all.
That's good.
He skips it.
But he did have Clone Wars.
Yes, he throws that in there instead, which makes it a whole much longer watch. So much longer. And then that Santa Slasher Marathon.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good time.
Which actually reminds me, I need to watch that movie. I won
The Red Christmas.
Yes.
The Australian Christmas movie.
Yeah.
You know who watches Red Christmas every year?
Hmm.
Australian Santa. Oh, it's me, Australian Santa. How's it going? Oh, it's Steve. Nice to meet you. It's me, Australian Santa. You've been a good boy this year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what did you ask for Christmas?
I think.
Well, you ain't getting in your pants. You're getting a boomerang, and you're getting a backpack to go out into the outback.
I wanted a dingo.
You're not getting a dingo. You have to catch your own dingo. You're going to bring it home. You're going to tame it. Then you're going to shave it.
Yeah.
And then you're going to ride it. Into Melbourne.
Who wouldn't love a shaved dingo?
That's why, Steve, you're not getting a dingo.
I want a shaved dingo.
Because of jokes like that, Steve, is why you've been a naughty boy and you're not getting a shaved dingo. Now I'm going to go back to the South Pole. I got a busy night ahead of me. It was a good scene. Yeah, you got to watch that movie, man. Red Christmas.
Yeah, I do. Have to watch.
It's good enough for Australian Santa. It's good enough
for It's good enough for me. Absolutely.
Shout outs to Bill, Billy D, Slasher Movies, Santa Movies. He's the man. Hit him up all over the internet at I Love Blood. If you're on Facebook, you can find his Facebook page. I think it's Billy D Takes Pictures. Billy D Takes Pics. Bill, you can post a link to that page in the PFT Media Group.
Yeah.
So yeah, feel free to do that, and people can check it out because it's a good page. It takes great pictures.
Yeah.
There you go. That was your best of the movies. Thank you, Bill. Time for the Vox Populi. You ready? Here we go.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
Here we go. You tell us what you saw, and then we'll read it on the show.
See, I never understood what that guy, what the guy said in the beginning.
The Vox Populi.
Yeah.
Vox Populi.
I never heard it right.
Now you know. Well, yeah. It is distorted.
Yeah.
It is a distorted voice.
So this is, which one is this?
You tell me, man.
Okay. This is this one.
Cromella. That's the one from Cromella.
Right.
Yeah.
But so, that's the one I'm reading. Okay.
Yeah, you can read that one.
Yes. Okay. Chris, Drew, and guests. That would actually just be me and
you.
Yeah. Thanks for doing the show in 2017. You're welcome. Chris and insert Etchy. You have excellent chemistry and provide great podcasts every week. Thank you. okay. I've been watching some of my all-time favorite television holiday classics, capturing the effence, the essence of...
The evanescence.
Yes. Or the effence. yeah. The effence is...
Effence.
It's correct. I'm never wrong. Here are four of my favorites. What are some of your favorite holiday movies or shows? And please don't debate whether Die Hard is a Christmas movie like any other hack podcast in the world. That's a good idea. We shouldn't do that.
Hey, you know what? For real. Like, people in the last year have been, like, tweeting that. Like, it's a Christmas movie. Like declaring it definitively as if it hasn't been a known thing for decades now.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is a very hacky thing to do. That's a correct word.
It is. Good job. Like, at this point, it's one of those things where it doesn't even matter what the answer is.
Yeah, exactly.
If there is one.
Yeah, like, stop it. And you know what? We did a Die Hard bonus episode years ago. You know what's up. Shout out to Cromella.
Exactly. Number one, Tales from the Crypt all through the house.
All right.
So you just murdered your husband on Christmas Eve. What could possibly go wrong?
Mm.
Robert Zemeckis directed this episode, which is the second of the series.
That's cool.
A deranged Santa Claus is on the loose from the mental asylum and is on the prowl for a housewife who just killed her husband on Christmas Eve. This is one of the signature episodes of Tales from the Crypt, and is equal parts funny, scary, and campy in its over-the-top 80s Scream Queen style. With a classic 80s shock ending, of course. One of my favorites one is when, like, from the Tales of the Crypt,
You
know, when they're all, like, swimming in the lake, and they go, like, they swim up and get on that, like, one board in the, like, that one little platform in the middle, and they can't, like, there's something in the water, and they're stuck in the middle.
I don't see that one.
I don't remember.
To be honest, real quick, to interrupt email, the only Tales from the Crypt episode I remember is one in which a guy got autopsied while his, like, brain was still like alive and working, but they thought he was dead.
Wow!
And they cut him open.
Still better than being buried alive.
And I think it was done on purpose.
Wow!
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Anyway, back to email.
Okay.
Good times. Yeah. Merry Christmas, everyone.
I know, right? Number two, Married with Children, It's a Bundyful Life, Part 1 and Part 2. So you've been saving money all year to buy Christmas presents for your ungrateful family, and what could possibly go wrong? The episode I always think of is when their van, like, they've reached, like, a million miles on their van.
Yeah.
So they're going to give them a Dodge Viper. And, like, the day before he drives in to, you know, because they want to film the millionth mile. No, they're going to come over to the house and film the millionth mile.
Yeah.
And he stays in the car because he's afraid something bad is going to happen. Like, you know, he wants to make sure or whatever.
Yeah.
And as he falls asleep, he hits reverse.
Yeah.
And it rolls down the driveway and rolls past the million going back to all zeros. And he doesn't get the car.
That's funny.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Al's bank closes a few minutes early when an inebriated Marcy passes out, falls to the bank's floor during a Christmas party before Al can withdraw the cash. And the classic TV trope, the remaking traditional Christmas movies, Sam Kinison makes a guest appearance as an angel in training. I hate that guy. he shows Al how perfect his family's life would be without Al after he is electrocuted. He also shows how shitty he is at stand-up. In the ultimate act of selfishness, Al decides to return to the living in order to end his life. I like that. Every time I see Al, I read it as AI. number three.
Yeah, because it does look like, because it's a lowercase L.
Yeah.
It does look like AI.
Yeah. So number three, The Office, A Benihana Christmas, Part 1 and Part 2. So you just bought tickets for a holiday vacation at the all-inclusive Sandals Resort in Jamaica with your attractive girlfriend. What could possibly go wrong? Is Sandals, like, I know that's like a really... It's like a chain, I guess, like the equivalent of like a chain, right. You know. Okay, are they supposed to be good or something?
I think they're, yeah, all these all-inclusive resort type places.
I never knew.
They're like a cruise ship, but it doesn't go anywhere. It's on the beach.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's all the amenities are there. There's different restaurants you can go to and eat at, and everything's already paid for. It's included in your price to get in, that type of deal.
Nice, yeah. Okay. No, I always wondered. I never really knew.
I think they're popular for a reason.
Yeah. Michael Scott's girlfriend cancels after Michael photoshops a picture of himself over her ex-husband's face with her family for his Christmas card.
Oops.
This episode has a dead goose. That's already good enough to watch. Cutlery debate, dueling Christmas office parties, a Japanese steakhouse, and bad karaoke. Michael putting an X on one of the waitress's hands so he can distinguish her from her friend is one of my favorite moments of the show. Mm. Number four, A Very Murray Christmas. So you have an expensive all-star Christmas variety show planned? What could possibly go wrong? Was this the one on Netflix last year?
Yeah, it came out last year. You hated it?
I didn't even watch all of it. I watched 20 minutes of it and went, this is awful.
There was only like 10 minutes left.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's only like 30 minutes long.
Okay, well, I don't feel like I missed out on anything.
You bailed out when Miley Cyrus came out?
I don't even remember when. I'm just going, God, this is so bad.
It's like, so funny. I enjoyed it. But let's go ahead and hear Carmella's review and then we can talk about it.
Okay, I don't even remember why, though. I don't.
But, well, yeah, but the same reason. Yeah, I know that feeling. It's like you remember it turning you off.
Yeah,
which is fine.
Yeah. Well, a snowstorm, of course. For whatever reason, this special is really polarizing. People seem to either love it or really hate it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there we go. See, we're just saying that.
Okay, I love it, but I also love Bill Murray. So do I, though. Mm. And I grew up watching plenty of bad Christmas variety shows. So perhaps that is the key to enjoying the special and why it didn't connect with some viewers. But I also imagine this is kind of an unofficial sequel to Lost in Translation, where we discover that what happened to Bill Murray's character post-Japan. Extra points for Michael Cera referring to the show as a Christmas. I do like that.
You did say Christmas.
Yeah. Well, best wishes in 2018 to Steve Etchy. Oh, sweet. I don't even think he knew. Okay.
Well, I did it on the show.
Oh, okay. I think you are co-hosting this week. Otherwise, insert random guest host name here. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was literally random, like, for some reason. I was like, wow. What are the odds?
What are the odds?
Chris Drew and all the dedicated D-heads. The Deeso heads.
The D heads?
I like that. The Deeso heads. I like that.
What's up to all my Deeso heads?
The Deeso heads everywhere.
What's up to all my Deeso? Oh, no. What's up to all my Deeso heads out there? With my boy, bitch? Yes!
Deeso heads!
Bag!
Yeah. I thought it was going to be more of a brah. But it was just a
Oh, okay.
The D head. Shout out to all my D heads out there. You guys are awesome.
I did like, you know what? I will say I did remember this about it. First of all,
about the Bill Murray Christmas.
Yeah, I love Bill Murray. It felt kind of slapped together.
Yes, it does. I that's part of what I liked about it. I liked how it feels very haphazard, like.
And I can see how that could also be a positive thing, like you're saying that's what you liked about it. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah,
I totally get that.
Yeah, I enjoyed watching. I was shocked at how, like, did they write anything, or did they get together? Is it just Bill and some friends getting together and like, what are we gonna do? I don't know. But then when they get into the set where it's like there's a piano and then Miley Cyrus sings a couple numbers.
I don't know if I made it that far.
Towards the end, it feels a little more slightly more organized.
Yeah,
but it must be obviously your personal thing. It feels so stitched together where it's like shocking, and it feels like, well, this is what it would be like to hang out, be stuck in a Snowden. At a hotel with Bill Murray. People are just drinking. They break out into songs. Like, not even singing that great, just singing. And then, like, they stop singing, they're talking. And then someone else starts singing a song. It's interesting.
Yeah, it is. I'll give it that. It is interesting.
And I might, to be honest, I was thinking about rewatching it this week. I may give it a watch tonight.
I'm actually thinking that now, too.
Give it a second. Just, who knows, maybe rewatching it, Steve, will just confirm, double affirm for you that it is shit and you hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you can add it to your three things, your third stand you're taking. Stand number one, fuck method acting.
Yes.
Stand number two, if you're picking your name, stick with it.
Yes.
stand number three, Muhammad Ali did go with Muhammad X.
What?
And then went to Muhammad Ali. You went Cassius Clay.
Was that
Muhammad X?
Was that around the time of Malcolm X?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why. So he just took the X. Very, very hacky of him. Speaking of hacks.
Yeah, that is hacky.
And number three, if, especially if you give it a rewatch and it holds up, number three, fuck that Bill Murray lackadaisical Christmas special.
Yeah, I'll have to rewatch that.
Miley Cyrus comes down and sings Silent Night, Holy Night, and you're just like, oh, she can sing.
Yeah.
She's actually good. When you get past all the ridiculousness.
Yeah.
The package.
Well, not only that, but this came out last year. Was she crazy then?
Like, it was a tail end.
No, yeah, I was gonna say I knew if she was, it was the tail end of it.
It was a tail end of the craziness and the breaking out. And I'm not a child anymore. I'm a sexual adult.
Yeah.
Now she's all like, I'm a hippie.
I never understood the whole. I don't know when people would be like, oh, Myra, sorry. I'm like, she looks okay. I don't get it.
I think she's attractive. Some people don't like her.
She's not unattractive.
They used to on SBK, but this was also 6 years ago when she was like 18. So. She was even younger looking and it's a little more debatable. But SBK Live, they would debate. Kevin and Matt would debate whether or not Kevin was like, she has that crazy flat horse face or like fat face. Mm-hmm. And Matt was like, no, I think she's attractive. You know, I think she's good looking. And they debated that on SBK Live several times.
Yeah. I mean, for me, here's the thing. She's attractive, but like the way a six is. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
you're saying she's a six?
She's not ugly.
You're saying Miley Cyrus is a six?
Maybe a seven. No, she's six. No, she's six.
Wow.
But you know what I'm saying, though? Like, she's not unattractive.
Man, I get right.
I would never say she's unattractive, but...
I put her at, like, an eight.
I'll go, like, a... Almost, like, a... Like, I'll go, like, a... just over the threshold seven.
She's got some tats.
Yeah,
sloppy though. No rhyme or reason to them.
Which I don't understand.
I don't like. It's like, people
do that. If you have money, why do you have shitty tattoos?
Well, yeah, why not? You should be like a Yakuza crazy back tattoo that tells the story of your life.
Oh yeah.
As drawn by Gary Larson, he paid him to come out of retirement. That's how much money I got.
That would be amazing.
To
get a Gary Larson version tattoo, like of the Yakuza suit.
That'd be awesome.
But yeah. Oh my god,
Gary Larson style. Everyone's got cowlicks and. Glasses.
Fat woman with dogs in their butt tracks.
Butt tooth. Everyone's so ugly. Cows are standing up. What do you have any favorite or go-to Christmas specials, TV specials? Like, I really like, obviously, the Charlie Brown Christmas is a big favorite.
The audio is funny in those. I like it.
Yeah, because it's old mono audio, and then we're trying to listen to them through our stereo setups.
So it's totally loud.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. I like it. Like, I mean... It's bad, but I like it.
That's funny.
When I say bad, I mean, I don't think it's bad. Like, it's...
Just technically, it's
incorrect.
Like, yes.
It's technically incorrect.
It's not what you would do if you were setting out to make it today.
Right.
Yeah.
But I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is
a throwback to a different era. That's why.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any classics you can think of?
I do love the Grinch cartoon.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Absolutely.
I mean, that's what's so funny. That's the one time that, like, I think when people are talking about, like, this question in particular,
mm-hmm.
You're not going to get much original, and that's fine. You know what I mean? Like,
people like their favorites.
Nobody's ever going to be like, oh, my favorite is this. And you're going to be like, I've never heard of that. Yeah, it's kind of...
It's kind of obscure.
Yeah, it's kind of out there.
Everyone's liking the same things.
You should try it. It's very European.
Even if, right? No, even if it's like Jingle All the Way or a Christmas Story or something like that, everyone's like.
Everybody's
the same
heard
stuff.
Of it. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
I never saw Jingle All the Way, but I know exactly what it is.
It's a dumb, fun movie. It's stupid. It's ridiculous, but it's got one of the last Phil Hartman movie performances.
I love
Phil Hartman. He's fantastic. He's the like the kind of lecherous single dad neighbor trying to hit on Schwarzenegger's wife, who's played by Rita Wilson, another fantastic actress.
Oh, yeah, married to Tom Hanks.
Yes.
Power couple right there.
And then it's Schwarzenegger versus Sinbad the whole time. They're having fun. And it's a ridiculous movie about consumerism and Turbo Man.
You know what I think is not mentioned very often, and I would love it if they came out with a collection.
Mm-hmm.
They probably did. Of I love Christmas SNL skits. Like, there are a lot of really good ones.
There has to be, because they put out so many different DVD collections.
Of like themed collections and stuff.
Either by a comedian or like a theme like that, there has to be a holiday Christmas one. No, a holiday one, so they can lump in all the Adam Sandler, the Hanukkah song,
yeah,
and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, yeah. Especially like the latest one. Did you see? Oh God, my mind is going so blank. he's from The Disaster Artist.
James Franco.
God, thank you. Where did you see the one where he's like wrapping the presents? Like he's one of the gift wrappers in the, you know, like department store or whatever.
No, I did not.
And he's talking to one of the people and he cuts his finger off,
mm-hmm.
and it's like shooting blood everywhere. He's like, wait, no, hold on. You know? And like, he ends up cutting like a bunch of his fingers off.
Yeah.
And there's blood everywhere. And one of the people that was there was Leslie Jones.
Okay.
And he's like, wait, no, I'm sorry. And it squirts like all over her, and some of it got in her mouth.
Ooh.
And
like on purpose or by accident? Like they set that up, or
no?
Was that...
No, they did not set that up. Ooh. And she had a couple of lines and could not say them because she was trying not to vomit.
Yeah,
and like she was with somebody, I forget who. I think it was like Pete Davidson or something.
Uh huh.
And so he just kind of took over her lines and kind of went forward or whatever. You know?
Yeah, to get the scene moving.
You can see like a couple of like. You know what I mean? Like, you could tell, like, oh, shit, she's in trouble.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. And the skit, like, he did it amazing. It was good.
Yeah.
It was a really good skit. Well, that was last week.
Well, Franco.
Yeah.
Franco's good. He's a master of many, many, many things there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he definitely is.
He's good for hosting an SNL.
The only thing he's not good at? Staying still.
Ooh.
He's always doing three things at a time.
He is, yes. He's a busy fella, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And that's even in the moment. All right, so we appreciate the email, Carmelo. We got another email over there? What do we have?
Yeah, we absolutely do. We have got... we did that one. Okay. Yes, we have the Bright Review.
From who? From
this is from Scott.
What's up, Scott? Scott with our review of Bright, and then we can talk about Bright. All right, very good.
Yes. Did you want a last name?
Nah, Scott's fine.
Okay. All right. You know that maneuver when a professional casino dealer spreads all the cards face down as a flourish? Well, this movie had one shot of a dealer performing that flourish, and he fucked it up.
Oh.
Badly.
Oh.
And they left it in. That's all anyone needs to know about Bright.
I don't remember that. It's fine.
What a cast. What a premise, what production value, and there's such a rich universe here, a Lord of the Rings in modern time. Everything's there to create something unique and spectacular, but it's the attention to detail that's lacking.
Mm.
Bright should be a Netflix series, not a movie.
Oh.
Sure, they'd never have gotten the awesome cast, but as a series, this could work. But because it was meant to be a two-hour movie, they cut corners storytelling-wise, and the whole thing is an absolute mess as a result.
All right.
1.5 stars, I initially thought in my head. 15 stars. Happy holidays, y'all. Fuck you, Trump. And as always, take care, guys. Scott.
Thanks, Scott. Happy holidays to you as well. All right, sorry about Bright. Bright, the new movie on Netflix. Produced by Netflix, $90 million.
Which is nuts that they're doing that big of a movie.
Huge movie to not play in theaters.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a giant movie. Starring Will Smith. Joel Edgerton as his orc police partner, and directed by David Ayer, who just did Suicide Squad, and before that, he wrote Training Day, and then he wrote and directed End of Watch, and another movie, Harsh Times. Does a lot of movies that are set in L.A. and often involve the police, right?
Ah.
Which Bright is set in L.A. and involves the police. But it's in L.A. in which it's like a world that's like a Lord of the Rings world where the orcs and fairies and the elves, there's like all these hierarchies of different species of creatures.
Mm.
And the elves are all the super rich ones and the orcs are like the dumb brutes and the humans are just there in the middle. And there's like a minotaur at one point and they reference like other races, but you only see like the three main ones anyway.
Yeah. Interesting.
There is like this big world that is kind of interesting to explore the way they have all things set up. But for a two-hour movie, they're trying to tell their story, so they can only tell so much about the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie really is just like two guys, for the most part, on the run. Two cops who don't really get along too well, on the run, trying to get away from dirty cops, the feds, and the bad guys.
Okay.
And I watched this movie last night, and like I wanted to like it, I wanted to be entertained, but like... halfway through the movie, three quarters of the way through the movie, I was like doing other stuff. I was like packing things. I was working,
yeah,
as opposed to like just watching a movie because it was boring me. You know, it didn't interest me. It didn't suck me in.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I meant to watch it before the show. I forgot.
Yeah, you know what? I would like to have seen what you heard, what you thought. You could still watch it and then like review it in the
the
Facebook group or something, in the Cinema Crespedo group.
I do at least. I've seen this trailer a few times. Will Smith do a good job?
Will Smith is Will Smith.
Yeah.
So he's fine.
Okay.
He does the Will Smith job.
Because what bothers me about that, I think, is that you know, just from a perspective of if I were casting this, is that, you know, okay, it's a movie with Will Smith in it and there's aliens.
Yeah.
Please stop. Like, now that doesn't bother me. That wouldn't deter me from it.
Yeah.
But at this point, just seeing Will Smith and then seeing, you know,
it's Men in Blackish.
Yeah. Men in Blackish. And then of course, we also did, now this is very different in feel, but Independence Day.
Sure, yeah.
It wasn't a comedy or anything.
But it's still, but yeah.
He's the alien dude. He's always...
He keeps interacting with some sort of After Earth.
Yeah.
Well, he was on Alien Planet, but... Well, actually, it was Earth. Technically, it was Earth.
Yeah.
But still. Yeah, I see what you're saying there. Yeah. What's up, Will Smith?
Yeah, so...
What all the alien stuff?
I feel like a lot of people could be turned off by the fact that it was Will Smith, even though like, it has nothing to do with him. They can like Will Smith.
They're just tired of the situation.
But...
The setup.
Right. They're like, oh, they hired Will Smith to do this, you know. Okay.
I wonder how much this would have made if it came out in theaters. I wonder what the numbers what the interest is in it.
It would be interesting to know.
Yeah. It's hard to tell if a movie is a bomb or not.
I think it would bomb.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. But...
it's not well reviewed.
Yeah. I don't feel like it.
But if you put it on this summer, I mean, Suicide Squad wasn't well reviewed with Will Smith, same director, David Ayer, made over $800 million worldwide.
Yeah, but that's attached,
also Suicide Squad.
It's attached to DC.
Yeah. That's different. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's very true.
But I just feel like sometimes it's too, like, smashed together.
Yeah.
Like saying, like, dude, what if we did, like, a buddy cop movie where the police are actually after the cops because of blankety blank.
Right.
Only we smashed Lord of the Rings into that. And you go, what?
That's what it is.
What are you...
There's like fairies now, and for some reason there's orcs who are...
How many bad jokes were there like that, like, directly referenced situations in which it was odd that there were different creatures there?
Well, yeah. Well, here's the thing.
To make it funny.
Not only that are there different creatures, but the big crux of the story is that there's a orc diversity program. And so even though they're orcs that they established, they're orcs that play professional sports and they work in all aspects of life. For some reason, this is the first orc that's a cop. And when the other orcs see him in uniform, they're like, oh, you're a traitor. You're a traitor orc. So it's like the orcs and the police are really against each other. It's weird.
That is weird.
Yeah.
I think that's code for black.
Which is then the movie's sloppy about it because it doesn't really work. There's still plenty of black cops. It's not like there's one black cop, you know.
Yeah.
It's the parallels are there, but they're sloppy. I think that's a big part of the problem, that they're trying to traffic in these themes of diversity and inclusion and the police and police response.
And it's awful when it's obvious. Is it obvious when they do that?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the worst.
It's like on the nose, you know what they're trying to do, and then they don't do that good of a job with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not compelling. So it's a bummer.
Yeah.
I wanted to like it, but it's not that good.
It's exactly what I thought it was. Like, from your description, that's it. When I saw the trailer, it's exactly what I thought.
Well, then you don't need to see it.
Well, and it makes sense, too, that he was talking about, you know, TV, because that's just the thing.
It should be a TV series.
It's that slamming together of, like, Lord of the Rings and a police thing. And yeah. You know, where you go, there needs to be room for that to be explained, and you cannot do that in a two-hour movie.
You can't just throw some quick exposition at us and then expect us to read something.
You can do that in a TV show.
In a TV show, you have the time and room to do that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
especially if it's not based on anything. The same thing with Lord of the Rings. Well, even then, Lord of the Rings, those movies were really long. But also, you know, they're based off of books that you very well may have read.
Yeah, but
so you can do that.
That's true. There is a basis, but those movies are made in a way that anyone could watch them. So, yes, it was a bit of a gamble, but the Fellowship of the Ring, it's like two-thirds of that movie is really just setting up the rest of the movies. It's a lot of groundwork, a lot of story being, a lot of exposition, a lot of characters introduced, et cetera, et cetera. Wright could have used that instead of just throwing us into this world and we're trying to keep up. And then things are so surface level. Yeah. It could have been better.
Yeah.
And you know what? Netflix announced they're making a Bright 2. so they get another shot.
That's weird. Why would you announce that before you know if it's well received?
Because they want people to be hyped for it. And that doesn't always work out. Then they don't end up making it. Warner Brothers did that with the Green Lantern. When Green Lantern came out and it had a poor opening weekend, Warner Brothers was like, oh, we are greenlighting Green Lantern 2, as if to be like, we are behind this movie and this product.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, you're ridiculous. This sucks. And then they never made it.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Shout out to Scott. Thank you, sir. And that's it for the Vox Populi. Vox Populi.
Vox.
All right. So we did Billy D. We did that. All right, well, then that means it is time for...
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about navigating the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beans?
That's right, the most important segment in all of podcasting, the Cinema Crespity So Movie News segment. We're talking about celebrity beach bods, those crazy Hollywood divorces. But most importantly, we need a Justin Bieber update. Steve, what's going on with the beach?
He has been learning how to blow glass so that for Christmas he can give bongs to all his friends.
Oh, what a nice guy.
I would love one.
I would love a Bieber blown bong.
God, that's really hard to say.
I'll Bieber blown bong.
Bieber blown.
Especially bong. When you're coming off of like a sore throat.
Yeah.
Cough situation. Bieber blown bong. Bieber blown bong.
Bieber blown bong. I can't even do it once.
That's how Billabong was invented.
Exactly.
Movie news. Here we go. A couple quick stories, and then we are wrapping up. We're out of here because we're already at 2 hours. The Room.
Mm-hmm.
One of the worst bad movies that people enjoy watching.
Love that movie.
Getting a 600 theater release, Etchy.
Really?
Yes, 14 years after it was made.
Wow.
How about that? Believe in yourself, believe in your dreams. Even when people for over a decade laugh at you, Steve, don't stop.
Yeah, don't stop believing.
That's a weird lesson.
Yeah,
it's a weird lesson this is teaching us. But
If it comes out in the Ezeon, you got to go with me and see it.
It'll be at it's January 10th.
Okay.
Okay, and it's one night only, so it'll be packed, and it's gonna be 600 theaters across the country. So it's gonna be one of those like Fathom events. So
okay.
So it'll probably be at like the AMC at the Altamont Springs Mall, or maybe over here at Winter Park. By you, maybe...
I go to Altamont anyway.
Would you go to Altamont?
Uh-huh.
It might be at Oviedo Mall or...
That's the other one I go to.
Yeah, it might be there. We'll look. We'll look it up.
Yeah.
We'll see where it's playing. I'll go see The Room with you. That'd be fun.
You go to the Altamont one. I'll go to the Oviedo one, and we'll just text each
we'll
other.
We'll text each other. We'll Skype into each other's screening.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck. He dropped out as the director of the Batman movie.
Okay.
And now it's rumored that he's going to be dropping out as the Batman as well. And he's just not going to have anything more to do with these movies.
Okay.
He said at the time, when he dropped out as director, that it was too much work. Starring in it, directing, co-writing, producing, all this stuff.
Yeah.
He felt like he wasn't able to make the best Batman movie possible. So he was stepping away as director. To give someone else a chance to really treat the character, give the character justice, right?
Okay.
That was the beginning of the rumors of Ben Affleck leaving entirely. Now Ben Affleck is saying, even though he hasn't officially left the project, he's saying the reason why he stepped away as director was because all the screenplays he got, he didn't like any of them. Every time the writer came back with a story or the screenplay, he was like, this sucks, I don't like it. And he just wasn't happy, and he did not want to be forced to direct the movie with the screenplay that he didn't believe in.
Yeah.
So that's why he dropped out as a
director. That's a good reason, too.
It is a good reason, but then it's disconcerting for, you know, well, what's the direction of the Batman movie? That now it's a whole new director. It's the guy who did the last couple of Planet of the Apes movies.
Okay.
Matt Reeves. They're doing a whole new script, so maybe this time around, they'll get it right.
Yeah, maybe.
We could use a good
Batman. I wonder who the Batman is.
Rumored Jake Gyllenhaal in the lead.
Really?
Or in the running. He auditioned for Batman Begins.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously didn't get it. That went to Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Cillian Murphy also auditioned, didn't get it. Christopher Nolan liked him so much, he got Scarecrow.
Yeah.
Right?
That was awesome.
That guy was almost Batman. He came close to being Batman.
Oh, because he was in Batman. Remember, he was the...
He's the Scarecrow in them. That's how he got the Scarecrow role, because he auditioned for Batman.
But he also... He was Scarecrow, but he was also one of the guys that dressed up like Batman and was like... You know how he's
oh, in the second one, in the beginning?
In the, it was, Batman, Dark Knight.
Yeah, the Dark Knight.
Yeah.
He was, yeah, all the Batman imposters.
I love it when shit like that happens.
Yeah, that's really funny.
He's one of the imposters, and now he's Scarecrow.
Yeah, he just pops up, he rips off his mask, and it's him. And then,
that'd be a great
Joe,
plot twist. They
Joe,
addressed it.
That would be funny. And then, Joe Manganiello mm-hmm. from, True Blood. Mm-hmm. And then they cast him as Deathstroke for the Batman movie that they may not make with him anymore.
Okay.
And he's in the Magic Mike movies. He auditioned for Batman as well and almost got it.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Jake Gyllenhaal, Manganiello, Christian Bale, Cillian Murphy. And I feel like at least one other person.
I always thought it was Cillian Murphy.
Because it looks like it.
Yeah, it does.
It's Cillian.
Okay. Yeah.
He's a...
I like him.
It's Irish. It's an Irish name.
Yeah. I love him. 28 Days Later.
Oh, so good. I remember seeing that in the theater and like white knuckling the seat. Like,
oh yeah.
Man, so intense.
Oh, so intense.
Very enjoyable, God, intense movie. Danny Boyle is a great director.
Yeah, he is.
So those are my two movie news stories. And you know what I want to do? What can I? I'll go back at it. Do I have enough here? Do I have enough?
Flip.
I was going to do this with Drew. Yeah, I can do this one with you, and I'll do the other one with this next week.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the Lightning Round.
All right, Steve, here we go.
Okay, dokie.
We're going to do multiple lightning rounds. Okay. I'm just going to give you a bunch of questions, and you just answer me. Ready?
Okay.
We're going to break you down Scientology style. Start the clock. Start the clock.
Start the clock.
Start the clock. Start the clock. Start the clock.
Oh, there's a clock to start?
Start the clock.
I didn't know there was a clock to start.
Just say go.
Oh, God. Go.
Number one, are routines good or bad?
Good.
Number two, where are the tacos at?
Not my house.
Number three, Gumball Rally or Pinewood Derby?
Pinewood Derby.
Number four, would you rather go to the moon or Alabama?
To the moon. I haven't been there.
And number five, have you ever flown in a small plane?
Yes.
Number six, why did Oreos go crazy with all the flavors?
Because Nabisco did.
Number seven, do we still need retail salespeople?
Yes.
Number eight, why is my garage door a little glitchy?
Because... I don't know.
Number nine, should acoustic guitars be banned from colleges?
Yes.
Number 10, Iron Man, Darth Vader, Medea, who wins in a limbo contest?
Iron Man.
Number 11, can you give me a second?
Go ahead.
Number 12, how many Starbucks are there in New York City?
400.
Number 13, what is Covfefe?
The best thing that our president has ever come up with.
14, is Trix really for kids?
Yes.
15, smack dab in the middle of?
The middle of an Oreo.
16, why do bad things happen to good people?
Because life isn't fair.
17, yay or nay?
Nay.
Number 8. What can I ask the Queen of England?
Can I change my last one to yay?
Number 19. This is a question to ask her. Number 19. Any questions in your head right now?
Nope.
Number 20. You gonna have coffee?
No.
21. If tricks are for kids, then magic is for?
Adults.
Number 2. What's 22. What's the... Have you ever solved a Rubik's Cube?
No.
23. Have you ever... Well, what's the highest you've ever been?
A few days ago.
24, are you... 24, are you a good swimmer?
Yes.
25, have you ever been on TV?
Yes.
26, baths or showers?
Showers.
27, have you ever flown a kite?
Yes.
28, what is your favorite swear word?
Probably shit.
29, Harry Potter, yay or nay?
Yay.
30, would you rather get lost in a maze or stuck on a mountain?
Stuck in a mountain.
31, baseball or basketball?
Basketball.
32, Chips Ahoy or Oreos?
Oh. Split it down the middle.
33, Pizza Hut or Domino's?
Oh, Pizza Hut.
Number 4, 40, 34, up or down?
Up.
35, summer or winter?
Winter.
36, black or blue?
Blue.
37, triangles or kites?
Triangles.
38, puppies or the gift of flight?
Puppies.
39, Mexico or philosophy?
philosophy.
40, Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory, or CNC Music Factory?
CNC Music Factory.
41, is it safe?
No.
42, what would be the hardest thing for you to give up?
Oh, God. My penis.
43, would you eat a spoonful of mayo?
No.
44, do you have a favorite song?
Nope.
45, where is your mind?
Somewhere else.
46, would you rather vacation at the beach or the mountains?
The mountains.
47, have you ever failed a class in school?
Yes.
48, if you could travel back in time, to where would you go? To when would you go?
Oh, to when would I go?
Yeah.
I would have to say, the 50s.
49, why are pizza rolls so hot?
Because you didn't wait long enough.
And 50, have you ever fought in public?
No.
Oh, that's a good answer.
Wait, like fist fought?
Yeah.
Okay, no.
Okay. Good.
God, I've yelled at somebody in public.
That's not to yell at someone. Doesn't count. All right, well, there we go. I'm out of beer. I saw some water. Cheers, sir, to you. Do you have water?
Cheers. Yes, I do.
All right, cheers to the we're drinking our water. Merry Christmas, Steve.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. And
always a good time.
Merry Christmas to you, Australian Santa.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you guys as well. I appreciate you having me here.
That's so nice. I'm just sitting in the corner the whole time.
It is.
Waiting, yeah.
Just rocking back and forth.
Just chilling.
Forward and backwards.
Playing on his phone the whole time. Thank you guys for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. We are out of here. Remember to break up the big banks, be excellent to each other, rate and review us on iTunes, Free to Me, Abu Jamal, and check out everything we have to offer at pftmedia.com. Oh, so Etchy, you want to know something funny?
Hmm.
Mr. Professional Audio Engineer, et cetera, et cetera. All right, there we go. And you know what? I'm also going to disconnect from the internet. Mr. I know what I'm doing. I'm Mr. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just, faking it until I'm making it. Still trying to make it.
Yeah, you got the faking it down.
Pretty good at faking it. Pretty good at. Okay. So I've known how, like, on this board for the longest time. What's the effects? The board has the effects in it, the built-in effects.
Yeah.
Right? You got like this.
Check 1, 2, hey. Yeah, right. It's all fun, right?
Man.
Hey,
hey, hey. Where
we got
the hello voice. Yes, this is when. So he took me out back behind the alley, and this is when he, he gave me $10 and
Snickers,
and I bought some Snickers.
And that's just right. And then there's
all these. Hey, hello.
These the different rooms.
Yes, yeah. Rooms. Yes, mid-sized hall, small hall, big hall. And it's fun, but the thing is like I couldn't figure out how.
Like I'm talking like this, but then,
yeah,
but then you sound like that too. Look, you can on
what?
My,
what?
On mine. You can turn mine all the way off. Oh, guess what? What? So can I.
After 3 years, I finally
figured that out.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So there we go.
Okay.
I'm gone.
Yeah.
But you got crazy voice. Or I flip it. You're fine.
I got crazy voice.
Oh.
Right? Wait.
That hurt.
I'm sorry. I peaked it. Like I said, I don't know what I'm doing. So anyway,
Finally figured that out after all this time. Check 1, 2. Here we go. I opened the window by accident. That's not good. And then I got a whole new board, right? So I gotta had to re-download the apps, but it's different apps because it's a different Android.
A PFT Media production.